Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. Read us where we're able. We do routines to call the scenes to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and scram a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-able. So many times we give and rhyme that our quite unsingable. We're off to bed in Camelot. We sing from the diaphragm alone.
I have to push the pram along.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Sam, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how do you get that, eh?
By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh! How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I am Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
Well, that's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh. Come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway! Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Ho, ho, ho! King Shaziz the Terrible! All rise for King Shaziz the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table!
If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing.
Paul Harvey.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street, singing songs and carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop now, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop, children, what's that sound?
The turbo. All those working to fill the turbo and the Knights of the Round Table.
Hey, I got booted for spamming in the TCT chat room. I put two of the same doggone video, went to put a different one in there. Yeah, I got the boot, Barbara.
Uh-oh. They're on you now. Watch out.
Yeah, it's TCT. They don't play around over there. I'll tell you that. Anyway, so basically 7,000 feet of snow outside there, you know? I'm just telling you. I mean, you can look 7,000 feet to the right and 7,000 feet to the left and 7,000 feet to the north, south, east, west, all that. There's snow everywhere you look, as far as the eye can see.
There's even snow in Hawaii.
Yeah, in Hawaii?
Yeah.
Man, that ain't right. See, that's one of those ones you see on TV all the time that's supposed to be always warm. It's like a tropical climate, you know, and everybody's running around in grass skirts and having coconut drinks and fun and fun in the sun, surfing and stuff.
Man. Well, they got their warmies on, their woolies on to surf now.
Well, I'm sitting here in my snowsuit. Trying to stay warm here with the duct tape and baling wire, and I'm sitting here asking these questions to myself, because I've been asking this question for a long time. You know, they keep on talking about global warming, you know, well, where's it at, you know? And whenever it started snowing outside and I was shoveling 2 feet of snow off my driveway hollering about global warming, I was like, where's it at, man? I need my share. You see what I mean? It's just, I don't know.
I think we have to consider what they really mean by global warming. Doesn't mean that, I mean, I think global warming is a conundrum of confusion and theories and perhaps some truths and in there somewhere. Nevertheless, it's sort of like what we don't really know what happens with global warming. It doesn't necessarily mean we're going to become a tropical forest everywhere. Well, there's reactions. What are you to say? There's reactions. There's circumstances.
They were talking about record heat, you know.
Well, there are places that have had record heat. It's just not our territory.
Yeah, that's it. You know, we're down there. We get some pretty nasty weathers. It's pretty usual to get weathered like we get. And I was going to play a... Let me see if I can play this one podcast. I want to find the shortest one, though. Because I don't want to...
I mean, California just had major floods. And San Francisco area... I mean, floods in the grape-growing land. Floods like you can't believe it.
Well, yeah, I don't doubt that there's, some crazy climate going on. That's not that's not what I'm saying, but that's where they get everybody. That's the trick. That's the trick of the trade, because they want to say, when it was global warming, the planet was going to heat up, the polar ice caps were going to melt, and the sea levels were going to rise, and we were all going to drown, and the polar bear wasn't going to fare so well. And then it got colder than heck. Well, you know, that kind of went contrary to the global warming, so they had to change it. And that was
They have to change it to keep up with themselves.
Yeah, now it's climate change, see? Well, for a while there, they changed it to climate disruption, you know, because it was one day...
Well, the climate is changing, that's for sure. I mean, in our tradition... We have heard the prophecies of the climate will be changing. So I guess maybe they took that key from the indigenous people, climate change. But what does that mean? It's whatever they want it to be, I suppose.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to play the podcast after all. I just like, look... If you folks are interested in studying up global warming, there's people that say it is, and there's people that say it ain't. I'm one of the what you call climate change deniers when it comes down to the man-made cause of the whole deal. But that's not necessarily climate change. Ain't necessarily what I'm trying to get at today. It's the way that the education system is basically fear-mongering the children out there into believing. We only got 12 years left here on the earth. Did you know that there, Barbara?
Oh, yeah, I heard that story.
Yeah, we got to get the Green New Deal going on so we can make it past the 12 years. You know, if you pay your carbon tax, the government, who we can trust with everything we got, because you know you can always trust your government. Well, they're going to fix it. You know, they're going to go up there and they're going to find old man Winter and say, you know, we're going to need you to work just a hair bit harder, and we're going to get that old heat miser to work a little bit less and kind of balance things out, and here's some money to help you along and, you know, pay for your kids' college and all that kind of stuff. That's how they're going to negotiate that.
Well, no, but nobody's talking about the sun, the minimum Munder sun things.
Well, if you go over to weatheraction.com, Morgan Pierce, is that his name? I can't remember. I'll have to check it out. Weatheraction.com, he's been saying it for years. He was actually forecasting the weather months in advance, and he was right every time, and he said that it's all sun related. You know?
What is that called?
Weatheraction.com is what I believe it is. I'll have to double
check. I'll check it. I'm looking at it for now. I'm gonna check it out.
You know you got the right guy because he's got a hairstyle like mine, so that shows that he's
like a mad scientist.
He's brilliant. See, you got to have mad.
Oh, I see him. It does look like your cousin there.
Yeah, we're related somehow or another. He's got a different dialect than I got, but other than that, you know, hey. We could be long-lost relatives.
I'm going to pop this into the chat. Hey, everybody in the chat there, wherever you are. People for people and all kinds of people out there listening to this brilliant show coming on. Hey, it's a good day here. It feels like spring, but in the next few days, the temperatures here are going to drop to like 3-1 at night, you know, 1 degree, 3 degrees, 6 degrees. It's a yo-yo experience. You getting dizzy yet?
Well, yeah, I'm getting, pardon the phrase, but I'm getting snot sickles over here.
Oh, yeah.
I bundled up whenever I left the house to come over here into this room so I could, do the radio show. And it's like a blizzard outside. The winds are blowing and you got snow drifts. And there's probably at least several inches of snow on each of the steps out there. And I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna get me a refund on this because they promised global warming, and here I am with snow blowing in my face. My coffee was cold before I got over here.
Yeah,
man, that's ridiculous.
There are no scientists in the world who can produce such observational data, and we challenge anyone reading this to send us such observational evidence from the real world, or find someone who can get them to produce it. So there is only effect the other way, namely that ocean temperature control averages CO2 levels due to basic laws of physics about the solubility of CO2 gas in seawater. Yeah.
Well, NASA put out a statement here, I think it was 2018, talking about record colds due to the sun. Due to the solar minimum.
Yeah.
That was NASA to put that out. I'll try to post a link.
You have this weather action here. It's the global warming climate change debate, where we point out that the world is now cooling, not warming. And there is no observational evidence in the thousands and millions of years of data that changes in CO2 have any observable effect on weather or climate in the real world. Well, maybe we're not in the real world.
Well, you know, I don't know if we're in the digital world. Somebody got to send me the code how to keep warm because it's chilly up in here. Right? I got my nose is like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. That's why his nose was cold. He was up there in the
yeah. Well, he's a beacon.
Yeah, I got a beacon going on. It's glowing. Yeah. So I'm just I'm outside of the bogus science that was used to perpetrate the massive fraud of global warming / climate change / climate disruption or whatever it's going to be next week when the math don't add up. You know, the real science out there would point more towards natural events such as what solar minimums and all that kind of stuff does, but it's you got to draw the line somewhere. Now, when you start teaching kids in school that we only got 12 years to live if we don't get the government to pass more laws to regulate everything, they're talking about, have you read the Green New Deal thing?
Well, I sort of looked into it. There's certainly a lot of controversy about it. I think some people are looking at it as a pretty wackadoodle whatevers, but I don't know what is it that these people are trying to do. What on earth is it that they're trying to do?
Well, I don't think it has anything to do with the climate per se, but I think they're using the youth of the world thinking that the doomsday's coming around to further a socialist style agenda so that, you know, everybody's taken care of. You know, on the outside, that sounds really good. That sounds like I would like to see that everybody has a house and everybody's taken care of and all that kind of stuff. But the way that they're going about it is completely and utterly wrong, because they're trying to get the government to force upon the people, you know, an agenda, you know, via legislation and all that kind of stuff. Do you know there's actually people out there talking about you should be thrown in jail for being a climate change denier? Literally.
Well, that's coming.
Well, I guess I'm going to jail. I hope it's warm there. You know, because when it comes around to paying a carbon tax, I'm not paying no carbon tax. You know, if they should send me a bill for a carbon tax, I'm going to like send them back a IOU note. I owe you some real science books so that you can learn the truth about our reality that we live in. You know,
well, you know, we have a lot of controversy about the socialism thing, and I see the push for that. And, of course, it does sound good. It does sound good on paper, but there's a lot of controversy speaking about how socialism always fails. I mean, I guess we could look at different countries that have had their socialism experience. You know, do you want that experience? I just popped this why socialism always fails into you. And now I'm going to pop it into the chat, and then let's read from some of it, because, you know, Trump did say more than once, and recently in his speeches, we will never be a socialist country.
Well, I'm glad, because the problem
I am too.
The problem is, look what happened in Venezuela and all that. You know, they tried it. You know, when you run your country into bankruptcy because you can't afford everything. Now, see, here's the thing. This is what really bothers me a lot. Here in America, there are a lot of giving people out here. We got charity after charity after charity, and we got social programs already in place that give people, you know, like things like food stamps and, you know, welfare programs like that, and even Medicaid. So we're already taking care of the poor people, all right?
Yep.
Maybe to some extent, maybe we could probably do a little bit better, but not to the extent where, you know, you got to start confiscating people's private property and their finances and everything to try to force people into everybody being equal, you know, like a communist country. Because usually, if you go look through history, the leaders of the communist country, they love it. I mean, they got it made. They don't get nobody mouths off at them, because they know there's ramifications, such as you're going to jail for saying, there ain't no such thing as climate change. You know, you're a climate change denier, so you're going to jail. That sounds like something out of George Orwell's book, don't it?
Well, I think we are in it. We are in that 1984, and you know, we are aware of what's going on in Venezuela. Now, Venezuela was a socialist country, you know, and so this article says, I thought it might be a good time to revisit this, his 1995 essay, to review why socialism failed in the 20th century and is failing in the 21st century. Mainly look at Venezuela. And so will always fail. And that's because it's a flawed system based on completely faulty principles that aren't consistent with human behavior and can't nurture the human spirit. This is what they want. They want to, basically, it's about the human spirit, I think, and human behavior. You know, do you want me to go through this?
Yeah.
Some excerpts?
Yeah, let's
why social, yeah. Why Socialism Failed. So here we go. This is important because we have a lot of these young people, of course, and in colleges, basically, they're pushing for socialism big time. So you have, you know, the Casio woman there, that new young...
Cortez. Casio something Cortez. I don't know.
Cortez is pushing. She put out this whatever thing, green thing. Anyway, here's socialism is the big lie of the 20th century. While it promised prosperity, equality, and security, it delivered poverty, misery, and tyranny. Now, that's all I need to know. But, okay, now, how was equality achieved? It was achieved only in the sense that everyone was equal in his or her misery. In the same way that a Ponzi scheme or chain letter initially succeeds but eventually collapses. You know those pyramid schemes where people at the first started it out all got the money and all won and it was fabulous and everybody that tagged on afterwards didn't get nothing, right? You know, we were aware of many of those. So socialism may show early signs of success, but any accomplishments quickly fade as the fundamental deficiencies of central planning emerge. It is the initial illusion of success that gives government intervention its pernicious, seductive appeal. But in the long run, socialism has always proven to be a formula for tyranny and misery. I think we're in that now. I don't know, tyranny and misery, but I know that... Karl Marx, quote, I'm going to quote him, he said, socialism always leads to communism. You know, he was basically a big socialist communist, you know. So a pyramid scheme is ultimately unsustainable because it is based on faulty principles. Likewise, collectivism is unsustainable in the long run because it is a flawed theory. Socialism does not work because it is not consistent with fundamental principles of human behavior. The failure of socialism in countries around the world can be traced to one critical defect, which is, it is a system that ignores incentives. In a capitalist economy, incentives are of the utmost importance. Market prices, the profit and loss system of accounting, and private property rights provide an efficient, interrelated system of incentives to guide and direct economic behaviors. Capitalism is based on the theory that incentives matter. But, under socialism, incentives either play a minimal role or are ignored totally. A centrally planned economy without market prices or profits, where property is owned by the state, is a system without an effective incentive mechanism to direct economic activity. It's failing to emphasize incentives. Socialism is a theory inconsistent with human nature and is therefore doomed to fail. Socialism is based on the theory that incentives don't matter. What do you think about that?
Well, I can see where the natural collapse is actually going to occur because you not having any kind of incentive to actually get out there and work because it pretty much everything's provided to start making for a lazy population. And then once everybody gets all entitled to certain things and the money runs out, then suddenly human nature kicks in on the bad side where everybody's upset and mad. And that's where I see the communism would have to come in, step in to sort it all out. See, now, well, we gotta put this communist place in play so that, you know, we're just gonna dictate what happens from now on to sort all these things out equally to everybody. So everybody gets their fair share, right? Yeah, wrong?
That's well, you have three principles. Let's look at these three principles. One, prices determined by market forces. Two, a profit and loss system of accounting. And three, private property rights. But the failure of socialism can be traced to its neglect of these three incentive-enhancing components. What they're doing, what socialism does is fails to foster, promote, and nurture the potential of their people through incentive-enhancing institutions, centrally planned economics, economies deprive the human spirit of full development. That's what they want.
Yeah.
It fails because it kills and destroys the human spirit. Just as the people leaving Cuba in homemade rafts and boats and those waiting in long lines in Venezuela,
well, that's
struggling.
Another, that's another brilliant point you just stumbled across right there. Okay, look, America's supposedly this melting pot, then last basket of freedom, so to speak, if that's what you want to call what we got here. But nonetheless, we're supposed to be free. And so people want to leave communist and socialist countries to come here for a better life. So that ought to be some sort of telltale sign, wouldn't you think?
Well, I think it's a big one. I think we have what's going on with droves of people trying to get into this country from their socialist countries, socialist communist countries, you know, for sure. I am glad that Trump said we will never be a socialist country because he's very well aware of what they're trying to do. You know, the temptress of socialism, it's luring us with the offer, give up a little of your freedom and I will give you a little more security. And this is the big thing here, security. People are feeling desperate. They don't feel secure. And that is a plan, I feel. That's the plan. Make people so terrified and that they will do anything. What they call it, problem, reaction, solution.
Yeah.
They've been pushing us into this place of terror, you know, no security, fear, and so on. That's their what they've been doing, and they see people's reactions today, so now they're preparing for the solution, and this solution is bad, people.
Who was it that said those who would give up freedom for security deserve neither?
Yeah,
well, that's pretty
this
much.
Is, yeah, this is what we're looking at, folks. Our freedoms are being incrementally cut away from our lives, and people are not noticing it, well, or they're accepting it because they say, well, it's only this little piece, it's not so bad.
But they're always doing it in the name of the children, Barbara. They're going to use the children to take away your freedom because, you know, we got to protect the children is what they say, right? Well, that's a big old misnomer, because if you start lying to the children at an early age and they believe all this stuff, how are they ever going to, let's say all the old folks just up and disappear. Now the children gotta cope with the world out there. How many of these children even know enough about science to even do anything to, you know, protect themselves or whatever?
Well, forget, you know, science. What about the history? The real history. They're erasing the history.
That too.
I mean, they're eliminating critical thinking, which is a key piece. So we know that pretty much they're working to, eliminate critical thinking. And I think that people are verging into that big time. The loss and lack of critical thinking.
You ever see that movie, Lord of the Flies?
I did see it long ago.
That was a disturbing movie.
Very disturbing, and that we see how human beings, and these were young people, can come to basically behave, you know, and do things that are pretty stunning, shocking.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, the show, when you watch this show, it was mind-blowing how, you know, you put these kids on this island by themselves and they start to develop their society in the way that the two different sections split off in the deal. And it was just a really disturbing movie to watch. You know,
it was very disturbing, and I think there are many movies like that. There are many experiments that we see with people's choices, the things people will choose to do just for their own satisfaction or their own greed or their own desires or their own idiocy, I guess.
You know that there was actually a book published in 1954, The Lord of the Flies, was a Golding's first novel, although it did not have a great success after being released. That's the one they put the movie out about.
The what?
The Lord of the Flies. They put the movie out, or the book was, there was a book published in 1954 about it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, if you want to read, I'll throw the Wikipedia.
Yeah, well, I want to continue with this article about the failure of socialism. It did inspire a worldwide renaissance of freedom and liberty, For the first time in history of the world, the day is coming very soon when a majority of the people in the world will live in free societies or societies rapidly moving toward freedom. Capitalism will play a major role in the global revival of liberty and prosperity because it nurtures the human spirit. It inspires human creativity and promotes the spirit of enterprise by providing a powerful system of incentives that promote thrift, hard work, and efficiency. Capitalism creates wealth. The main difference between capitalism and socialism is this. Well, capitalism works. What do you think about capitalism?
What do I think about it?
Well, yeah.
I think that, you know, it gives, like they were saying, it gives incentive to actually get out there and work harder and do things. You know, the harder you work, the more you get, you build your wealth up or whatever, you know.
And it builds creativity in the mind.
Yeah.
I mean, if you have this incentive and this opportunity, it puts people in that circumstance where they will begin thinking and be in creative thinking to how can I join in this flow, you know?
Yeah, well, without capitalism, we probably wouldn't have as many malls and businesses that we got right now. You know,
well, that's the one thing that I kind of do not like about capitalism. We have no balance, you see. This is the piece that I think we need to really look at, is our systems, even though we could say capitalism versus socialism, okay, that I would say, well, capitalism has some positives there. It's still not a balance.
No,
to me, things are out of balance.
Personally, I don't really think that there's any perfect, you know, option, but I think what we've got right at the moment is probably the best option under the current circumstances. You know, it gets, like I said, it gets people motivated to, you know, I really don't like the whole difference between all the class warfare that goes on, you know, but, you know, like people always blame everything on the rich people for doing things. It's not necessarily all the rich people that are doing things. It's some of the, average Joe that caused just as many problems as the rich, as far as I'm concerned. Because we have options. You know, you don't have to remain poor. It's here in the United States, at least, if you get out there and try to do something, see how far you can take your life. But it makes it harder. Some portions of the system makes it harder for somebody who ain't wealthy to actually, you know, achieve, you know, like a startup of a business. You know what I'm saying? That the more regulations it's piled on to somebody who's trying to start up a business, the harder it is for that person to start up a business. So they can't necessarily easily become successful, where if they weren't regulated to, you know, great extent, they might actually have a chance. Back in the day when they used to have mom and pop stores all the time, remember those days?
I do.
Yeah, but you don't see that anymore. Now it's
that was deliberate to take those little mom and pop stores out. Your community, you know, the unity of community, that's what this is about. So what does happen with socialism is that government would not just own, but they would control companies. So this plan basically doesn't tell us what they would do with that control. Okay. Now, this person writing this article says, would Apple, the company Apple, be free to innovate with the government controlling it? Or would they be forced to onshore all their production? Onshore meaning bringing it back. Well, yeah, this is a question here because you should have the right, if you want to go somewhere with your company to make it better for your company and so on, but then you have that out of balance where they plop a company down in some third world country where the people are suffering there and getting paid a pittance. So while this company, you know, prospers.
Well, I kind of think part of the problem that capitalism gets a bad name, it has to do with the way that corporations basically get in there and start monopolizing everything. Capitalism on its surface isn't a bad thing if people are out there and there's competition and people can get better products because of that competition. But when it comes down to big monopolies like power companies and TV stations and radio stations and even internet service for that matter, there's no big competition out there anymore. It's only the big boys who can afford, YouTubes and Googles and Facebooks and stuff like that. If you're the average Joe and you want to try that, you've got to come up with something extremely creative that catches somebody's eye, but then you're at the mercy of the people who have the equipment to actually be able to maintain that site. You see what I'm saying? And eventually, a good idea usually gets bought out by the corporations, the system. So there's where the capitalism, I think, went awry and caused people to despise capitalism. But on its basic surface, where you get a chance to have a mom-and-pop shop, you know, and everybody competes for the better product or the better business, then, you know, I don't think that's a bad thing. What do you think?
Well, I think that I think that this is really big right now in our faces, and I think that this discussion and argument, because it's right here, we have to be very careful. I think that there's a wave of something going on here, an intrusion of something going on for an end goal, and we have to look at, well, what is that end goal? What would this, where are we being led?
Well,
you know,
if you want to get a society into socialism, you got to demonize capitalism to get them out of capitalism, because, you know, most people like to be able to go and have choice and buy and sell and trade and get wealthy and stuff like that. But in a socialist style country, you know, where everything's provided for everybody, where's your incentive gone, you know?
Yeah.
There you go. That's the trick right there. It's just like the very same reason why they try to divide us along racial lines, or, you know, our difference in political views, or even, religious views or whatever. That's why they try to keep us all divided, keep us constantly battling each other, and somebody out there is going to make money off of it. There is a profit to be made.
There's always that.
Yeah.
So you always, in my estimate, I just popped in this other article, The Trouble with the New Green Deal. Let's look at that, because I want to get clear on what this New Green Deal is. So, as Democrats rally around a fresh-sounding idea, some are looking back to Obama's $90 billion climate package and its disastrous political blowback. It's hard to recall a Washington idea that has rocketed to prominence as quickly as the Green New Deal, and it has rocketed, I'll say. Rookie Democrat Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's radical proposal to decarbonize the American economy. Well, we won't have planes, so we can't fly anywhere, you know. I mean, in some way, that's not a bad idea. If you want to go radical, because it is radical, yeah, but no more planes,
but is
no more cars.
Is the government and senators and congressmen going to give up their planes too, or is it just...
No, because they're the world leaders. House Democrat leaders have created a new select committee on climate change to pursue a Green Deal. The New Green Deal. Democratic candidates for president are racing to endorse a Green New Deal. Why are they doing that? Okay, well, because the people are terrified. That's why. Because we've been told the world is ending in 12 years. So they're all jumping on this. The details are still up in the air. But a massive climate investment is suddenly emerging as a tentpole of Democratic politics. Now, the idea sounds as radical and new as Ocasio-Cortez herself. It's been done once before, and just a decade ago. When? Well, President Barack Obama signed a prototype Green New Deal into law in February 2009, pouring an unprecedented $90 billion into clean electricity, renewable fuels, advanced batteries, energy efficient, a smarter grid, and a slew of other green initiatives. Now, if you haven't heard of Obama's Green New Deal, that's because it was wrapped into an even larger and more controversial piece of legislation, which was the $800 billion American Recovery and Reinvestment Act of 2009, better known as the stimulus. Yep. The main goal of this stimulus was to save the economy from a depression in the short term which is why its push to move the economy toward clean energy in the long term was largely overlooked. Yeah.
You're not going to be able to fly your airplane anymore, Barbara.
Oh, don't. Well, I have a spaceship, so a UFO. Mine's fine.
All right,
no
cool.
Energy. No energy is used on my ship.
Well,
that's where we all need. What happened to the technology of the ETs, anyway?
Yeah, that's what I'd like to know. Old Roswell, they grabbed it and ran off with it or something like that. But nonetheless, 90% of the average Joe can't even afford an airplane. You ever checked out the price of an airplane? So how's that even going to help out any, you know? Because like we said,
I don't know.
The government.
Well, the price of your yacht, your airplane, your whatevers is just not going to happen, folks.
Have you noticed that most of the people hollering about this Green New Deal are not poor people? That usually, with the exception, they said she was a bartender before she got to Congress or whatever. Nonetheless. Most of the people out there, like Al Gore, you know, hollering about climate change and global warming, climate disruption or whatever, you know, they got some money in their pocket, and they make a lot of money, and they're standing to make even more money under carbon tax debacle there. So, you know, it's just kind of, there ought to be a red flag to it, you know. You people, if you ain't seen it, if you can't see it, then I don't know. But as far as I'm looking, no, the emperor has no clothes. Flat out.
Well, we have the establishment Democrats. They have aligned with Ocasio-Cortez. They're looking at it as a potential playbook for an even more ambitious package that could accelerate that transition away from the carbon emissions that heat up the planet, which we know is a lie, and hopefully avoid its political pitfalls.
Well, all they got to do, Barbara, is hold out for a few more years when all these younger generation get to the voting age and they can take over. That's it. So when they're teaching the kids lies in school and these kids are thinking 12 years we're doomed if we don't do something drastic, and when they come to voting age, who are they going to vote for? They're going to vote for the people like that lady sitting here hollering about the Green New Deal. She has no idea anything about science, nor does she have any idea anything about how the government financial system works or anything like that. Yet she's out there spewing off all this kind of craziness, and you know she's catching flack obviously from the conservative side, but everyone else is jumping on the bandwagon. So imagine about 10 years down the line when these kids become voting age. They already got it set in their mind we're doomed if we don't follow this socialist style agenda to get the Green New Deal going on. There's always going to be another Green New Deal. You watch. It's crazy.
Oh, there is, you know, but the thing is, like, the controversial president today with his policies regarding resources is pretty scary to me. You know, I mean, he's friendly to fossil fuels big time, and coal and so on, and oil, and like I'm saying, there is no balance here, because what we're talking about is a corporate-run government, period. That's where we are.
Yes.
And I think it's pretty much across the world.
They don't call it the District of Columbia for a reason. A lot of people don't realize that that's not even part of the United States, the District of Columbia. They're their own entity. They're a corporate entity. That's crazy.
Yeah.
And I don't know how many people realize that, but, you know, look it up. You'll find out there is a corporate entity that is the United States, and they're supposedly the original United States. It's two different things going on there. But that was snuck under the radar. You know, nobody was told about, like, the North American Union or the European Union or the Asian Union. Remember those back in the day when it was a conspiracy theory?
Yeah.
Well, it ain't a conspiracy theory. You can go out there and find the treaties signed by different people. The National Defense Authorization Act and the Patriot Act and what they would do and accomplish. Back when we were talking about it in the old days, we were called conspiracy theorists, nutcases. But now, hey, what's it right there in your face? There was a Guantanamo Bay. And there really was FEMA camps and stuff like that. There really was. You know?
Yeah.
So.
Well, I think I was. You just reminded me of this. Of this video I watched, very short video last night, of this years ago, David Icke, you know David Icke, right?
Yep.
Was interviewed on this video in Great Britain, where he lives, I guess, and he was made fun of. He was a young man then. He was made fun of for his research and for his theories of what is really going on in our world, in our country, basically the running of our country by a hidden government, of course now it's called the deep state, about the dirty business going on throughout the whole world and the involvement, the United States involvement in other countries. We have all this stuff he was talking about, and he was basically being laughed at for being a wackadoodle, you know, my favorite term, a wackadoodle. So we have this, you know, this going on, and I was like, so that was a very early video of him being interviewed. Well, guess what? Everything that David Icke had said and made statements of very early on are true. And then there was a later video of the same interviewer with David Icke as he was much older. And the guy apologized because David Icke was talking about how that interview, that day on that guy's show, for all these years, I don't know, 30-whatever-some years, put him basically in the limelight to be ridiculed, laughed at, you know, as a conspiracy nutcase wackadoodle. And how he saw clearly how puppetized and controlled the people were. Everything he was saying, because the people couldn't think for themselves. And the guy said he realizes now how many things that Icke said were actually true. He has seen that and so on. So I'm just saying that, you know, about Trump here, I want to say that there's things going on with Donald Trump that if you're not doing any research, you really don't know. You just see what the mainstream media tells you, like his connections with certain people in the world and what he's doing. We have the Kim Jong-un, you know, meeting in Vietnam, which was purposefully to help eliminate Kim Jong-un's nuclear whatever's control, where he was lobbying nuclear weapons toward Japan a while back, right?
Yep.
I mean, he was threatening us as well. And so Trump stopped that. But you don't see that in the mainstream media. What you see is a lot of show, a lot of play, a lot of lies. And so, you know, some people think that he's just friendly with dictators, but they don't realize because they're not doing their research to know what is actually going on behind the scenes, because there is this plan, and trust me, it's going to unfold, and people will be pretty surprised. Now, saying that, I am not a Trumper. I see a serious thing going on with our environment, and the reason that it's serious is because in order to make America great again and bring back jobs, which he is, you have to pretty much rely upon your resources on the land so that you can be the greatest country in the world, where people come to you for oil, people come to you for steel, people come to you for coal. Okay, and everybody's going rah, 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 because you know what? The people need jobs. The people do need jobs.
Well, part of the problem that they got with the whole oil deal is when they start doing in the fracking, I don't think they really realize how much danger that actually produces for people all around the United States, because there's a lot of things that can go wrong with fracking, such as if you start relieving hydraulic pressure underneath any ground, it's a cause and effect kind of thing. You know, you got all this pressure up underneath the ground, and you start relieving that pressure by draining out oils or even water for that matter, you end up with sinkholes popping up in places where they normally wasn't. You see what I'm saying? And,
yeah.
You know, when you got fault lines, major fault lines that run crisscross across the continent, eventually something's got to give. And so you're going to end up with frequent earthquakes. You know, Yeah, but as far as the whole climate change debacle or whatever, you know, there's a lot of natural things that we see now because we have access to the internet and all this, you know, communications that were probably going on, you know, all the time prior, you know, but it's just now it's easier to point it out. Look, hey, look, it's terrible weather over here. Yeah, there's been some terrible weather events throughout history, you know. Last time here in my state where I'm living at, the San Andreas Fault, not the San Andreas, the New Madrid Fault actually slipped. It actually caused a big, massive earthquake that caused the Missouri River to actually run backwards.
Yeah.
You know? That was a big deal back then. So, you know, there are a lot of natural deals. I don't think it has anything to do with any kind of carbon emissions, but that is the little key that they use to try to convince people who don't really understand science that we got 12 years left on the Earth.
Well, Corsia is the one who said that, isn't she?
Yeah. She wanted to repeat it. Where she originally got it, I have no idea. But now I got little kids out there lobbying Congress. There's a video out there of Dianne Feinstein basically telling off the kids. You know, I've been doing this for 30, 40 years. You know, well, obviously you haven't really done a good job. But somebody in the educational system dropped the ball because these kids are there thinking. They're there to save the world, you know, from climate change. We got to do this Green New Deal, you know, to save the Earth and our future and stuff like that. And it's just the fact that they're using kids. This ain't the first time it's happened,
yeah,
for
exactly,
political agenda,
right.
But they're using kids and they're basically dumbing them down. You know, in my mind, You're either stupid initially or you did it intentionally. There's really not too many directions you go. You either did it on purpose to dumb these kids down for an agenda, or you just was a lousy teacher to begin with. But how could the entire school system in the United States be completely lousy? I've seen kids from different school districts that seem to be really well versed in science and history and stuff like that, like they really taught them real stuff. But then you go and you'll start hearing all the liberal type schools and it's completely opposite. You see what I'm saying? It's depending on where you're sending your kids to school at. If they're sending them to, like, private education, they might get an actual education. But if you're sending them to a public school, you get what the government sent. That's it. And you don't talk about certain things in school. Heck, they're even taking, religious things out of holidays and such, you know. You can't do certain things or say certain things. There ain't no Jesus and Christmas anymore. It's aliens or...
Well, you can't. You have to look at this stuff with an open mind. You have to really look at incrementally how they are destroying everything. And I say destroying what is sacrosanct, is sacred. For instance, like, you know, like that, like people's freedom of religion and their beliefs and so on, and their freedom of choice and the freedom of speech, and, you know, and now we have politically correct or politically incorrect, and we have this transgender movement where I just read an article where 800 some children are being given from the age of 10 years old and 8 and 10 years old given these fertility pills to change their, or some kind of pill, to change their gender, to slowly affect their gender. This is creepy stuff, people, but this is happening, and if you don't look, if you're not aware, and you don't do your research, you don't know, you can't put two and two together. You might think, oh, this is a good idea, the green thing is a good idea, but then you look at this transgender thing, and then you look at the artificial intelligence thing, and then you look at the pesticides, and you look at the, you know, the chemtrails, and you look at the solution. Now the solution for global warming is actually chemtrails. Now they're admitting that well, you know, they didn't say, well, we have been spraying chemtrails, but what they're doing is, from this Harvard professor, he came up with the idea of how to save us all, how to save the world from global warming by actually spraying a shield above the earth. Well, guess what they're spraying? What is in that shield? It's the same thing that was in chemtrails. If you don't do your research, you might think, oh, well, they have a solution now to global warming that is a lie that they've been pushing upon us to terrify us and allow us to accept anything that they want us, basically, if they want to do to this world and to people.
Well, there was a video that I posted in there about the polar vortex. It talks about, you know, the differences when, like, the polar area heats up, that it causes that heat and the cold to change the jet stream and all that kind of stuff. Well, you think by spraying a bunch of crud in front of the sun where it would have normally got sunlight, that wouldn't change some sort of weather, you know, pattern? Because if it got colder suddenly in one area, that's obviously going to, you know, affect the difference of an area that's heat, and you're going to get some sort of motion going on from that. So when their supposed solution is to spray crud in the air, all they're doing is making things worse, quite literally. So the actual man-made cause of global warming may very well be a governmental, cause and effect. You see what I'm trying to say here?
Yeah.
They may be doing it their doggone self. These nasty cold weather spouts could, you know, potentially most of it be natural, but some of it could be unnatural. You put a lot of heat in one area. I mean, take a look at when there's a forest fire. You got actual tornadoes of fire because of that temperature difference, and you get these basically look like just like a tornado. I don't remember what they call them, but it happens because when you mix hot and cold air, you get a rotation. You know, it spins. Hot air rises and cold air falls, and so that causes an effect. So you get this massive forest fire, and you'll get these big old winds, and that's how most forest fires end up spreading further, because of the wind that's created by that fire. I mean, it's science. But nonetheless, you know, if the government says it, then it must be right. If we say it, that they're doing it, then it must be wrong. It must be we're tenfold hatters, because, why would the government do that? Seriously.
Well, you have the Democrats struggling and disagreeing with this Green New Deal. You have Republicans disagreeing with this Green New Deal. You even have the Green Party disagreeing with the Green New Deal and say she actually didn't think that up herself. This one Green Party person said she basically took it from some of their records of the Green Party. That, and she just watered down a lot of it, of their Green New Deal. That's where she got her idea from. But I want to get back to the using of the young people.
Yeah.
Because this is very serious, because, you know, we have these children today that are being inundated with technology, basically, which is creating an inability to think for themselves, which I call critical thinking. And it's not just the children, it's in the adult world as well. But you have, this is a wave going across the world of young people being so connected to technology that they don't even look up and make eye communication or have conversations.
Yep.
They certainly don't go out in nature. They don't experience nature, which is very significant, because that's our fundamental connection to nature is a key piece in our health and well-being. You know, a balance, keeping a balance. So people are out of balance, so out of balance, and technology is basically overruling their abilities to think for themselves. And they're vulnerable. Young people are vulnerable, of course, and they can easily be led, as we know throughout history. This is the story. This is how it's been going on. And I see many arenas here where young people are being inundated with false information and basically led into places and positions of complete surrender to the authorities.
Yep.
This has happened through generations, and I talk about the authorities because we have to understand that we are basically under authority's rule in all aspects of our lives. And this is, we can go through which, what they are. They're the political system, the religious system, the financial system, the education system, and we have these, you know, four major parts of our lives that are all set up and run and ruled by the authorities. The authorities is not your grandpa or your grandma. Yep. The authorities is a club. The authorities are people who have an agenda.
Well, you know, there was a time when you told somebody, I read it on the internet, they'd pretty much laugh in your face. Oh, yeah, well, if you got it off the internet, it must be true, you know. But the same people that were laughing in your face were quoting everything that the mainstream media had to offer. So, you know, it's crazy, the information war that's going on out here. When the alternative media kicked in and people started being home reporters and stuff like that and started questioning all these different things, the mainstream media pretty much had to somehow or another find a way to stay in business. And so you started hearing the mainstream media talking about things that the alternative media were already talking about, but they would put their own slant on it. And so, you know, with that said, when the kids are getting out there on the internet, they don't know whether they're getting the truth or not. When they're watching TV, you don't know whether you're getting the truth or not. It's just mind-blowing what's going on out here.
Well, I have this link I'm going to pop into you. It's about impact of media use on children and youth. And I'll pop it into the chat as well, but this to me is a major concern again because our children are being brainwashed.
Yeah.
Now we have also, it's not just our children, we have to realize that the children aren't the only ones, adults are being brainwashed, have been brainwashed for generations, and this new technology is really working very well. Yeah.
Well, there, you know, I saw somebody showed me something the other day that the kids are watching on YouTube, and it's like really terrifying looking monsters talking about telling these kids how to kill themselves and stuff like that.
Yeah.
How does that get on YouTube as if somebody comes out there and starts saying conservative style views, you know, that is called hate speech and you can't watch that, but yet there somehow or another these little cartoons, supposed cartoons, are out there being able to tell kids stuff like that.
I saw that, but you know, that's not the first time that there has been something on YouTube that kids have gotten involved in where they're slowly and incrementally drawn into this supposed game. Again, it's a mind control. And these children are in the final throes of this game, or in order to prove something. They are so at that point brainwashed that they are told to kill themselves. And this is not just new. This happened in Europe, and now it's, of course, various other places. But that's just one example, Shaziz, of what's going on. This one little girl, I think she was 8, was watching a cartoon. And suddenly this creepy face came in of this emaciated figure with bulging eyes, started to talk to her, called her, you know, her name, named her name, and started to talk to her. And this little girl, only 8, thankfully felt something, you know, enough to go to her mother. And her mother saw this and became very alarmed. And apparently there were two young people, and this is just one example, two young people who knew each other were both following this creepy figure. I can't remember the name of it. You could probably Google it. Maybe I will do that.
It says the Momo Challenge.
Yeah, the Momo Challenge. And they both killed themselves. And so the question is, how does this happen, that a little girl pulled up some video of you know, that would be appropriate for her to watch, a cartoon, whatever. And then intrusively in comes this Yomo, what is it?
Momo.
Momo apt comes in and starts talking to her using her name. This is pretty creepy. This is the technology that we're looking at. So if you think that that is, if you know that's possible, imagine, well, we know how we're being tracked. Everybody's being tracked. Everybody's being listened to. And I'm not a conspiracy nutcase. I'm a wackadoodle. And this is very real, folks. If you haven't gotten to this point now in your research and your understanding of what we are being inundated with and how this technology is mind-controlling us, you got work to do, because this is very real. How does this happen? This little girl gets on her screen and Googles her little cartoon thing that her mom says you're allowed to watch these, and suddenly some creepy entity comes in and starts to talk to her like they know her, like it's a best friend, and starts to tell her she wants to meet with her, and so on. Think of that.
There's a headline that says, creepy kids videos like these keep popping up on YouTube. Disney's Elsa exchanged machine gun fire with the Joker in one of the many popular computer animated knockoff kids videos found on YouTube. So, you know, if my grandchildren come across these things, I'm gonna be up on my ear, boy, I tell you that. That's crazy. You know, people gotta be really careful about what their kids see online. Some people don't, they use that doggone technology as a babysitter, and that's not a good idea at all.
Well, you have the amount of violence on television, for instance. It's on the rise, by the way. But the average child sees 12,000 violent acts on television annually, including many depictions of murder and rape. More than 1,000 studies confirm that exposure to heavy doses of television violence does increase aggressive behavior, particularly in boys. And other studies link television or newspaper publicity of suicide to an increased suicide risk. So this is impacting on everyone, not just children, but specifically children, because they are very vulnerable, you know, and they're easily manipulated and easily led. If you have a child who is, you know, kind of lonely or sad or depressed, or their household is dysfunctional, and they find a friend on their, you know, YouTube or whatever, they're going to, yeah, it feels good. They're going to be befriended, and this is what that is. It's incrementally leading them into a deep friendship where they completely trust this entity that's speaking to them, and that they will do anything to please this entity. Now, this is like, this is not just in this technological world, but this is in the human condition, pretty much. You have people who are predators, and in all types of society, predators. And they have this way of incrementally drawing in a lonely child, you know, a vulnerable child, into their web, into their lair. And then they can, you know, the child completely trusts them, because that child doesn't have a good foundation at home, doesn't have love. That little girl, 8 years old, obviously had a good household where she could go to her mother and tell her what happened, you know, and which was really great, but that's not always the case.
Man, what a mess.
Yeah, what a mess is right.
There's another article that says YouTube's creepy kid problem was worse than we thought. And I'm about to post some links to some of these articles. It says YouTube says that it's removed ads from some 2 million videos and over 50,000 channels that featured disturbing content aimed at kids. Some of that content actually exploited children in videos. And while we have long known that YouTube struggled to keep bad stuff off its platform, the fact that tens of thousands of channels involved doing bad things, doggone it, something popped up there, doing bad things, where are we at? Arr, hate it when that happens. So, basically, YouTube's basically trying to say that they've tried to regulate all this kind of stuff, and they just can't keep up with it. YouTube struggles to keep bad stuff off its platform. The fact that tens of thousands of channels involved doing bad things to children feel chilling. The public outcry over YouTube's creepy kids videos started a few weeks ago. Several reports highlighted seemingly kid-friendly videos that depicted scenes of Disney characters in bikinis, flirting with other popular children characters, and other generally inappropriate themes. The issue was compounded by disturbing videos of cartoon characters dealing with themes like torture and suicide popping up in YouTube's kids app. There was also a rash of videos that showed kids being tied up, apparently hurt, and otherwise engaged in exploitative situations. My God, what a mess.
Well, I'm going to say that what we're looking at here is not just what you're discussing for children. I mean, I have noticed, and I've been keeping track for the last couple of years, pretty much, on this, rising behaviors of people that when I look at, and I've said this before, but you have to pay attention to this because this is very real, behavior of when you look at what these people have done, and then you look at their mugshots, there's like nobody's home. Well, nobody is home.
That makes me want to say something that sounds conspiratorial. You know, they've been trying to get some sort of control over the internet for a long time. And once again, we're talking about, when you're talking about the Green New Deal and all the ways that they basically use children to try to further agendas, it would not surprise me in the least if these videos, because what kind of creep would actually put a video out there that would scare the heck out of a child like that, you know, and tell that child to kill itself? What if there was some sort of, person or entity or government entity, maybe not even any specific government, I don't know, I'm just thinking here, thinking out loud, but what if they were actually doing this on purpose to get somebody to say, well, you look, they're terrifying our children, we've got to regulate the internet, just like every other problem action solution. Maybe that sounds conspiratorial, but it ain't the first time that governments or people, entities of the world had done really dirty deeds in order to get something happening, like, you know, false flag wars and such. Does that make sense to you? Is it a possibility?
Well, I'm tending toward what you're saying is very real because, as I said, I've noted the increase in terrible behaviors, violent behaviors, not only against adult against adult, but against children, upon children. And I've noted this. It's a spiking in this, and other people have noted it too. So what is the influence here? We have to ask, what is the influence? How are these people, and plus children, being influenced? I mean, of course, there's a lot involving looking into this as far as, yeah, what would be the influence? What type of lifestyle are these people living, or what's really going on in their household? But you have also, we know about the MK Ultra. I mean, we know about that. We know about the fluoride affects your mind and your critical thinking. When you have an unhealthy circumstance going on where you can't, where you aren't well, your body and your mind becomes out of balance. You don't have a base, you don't have a foundation, you don't have a strong connection, let's say even to a spiritual connection, which is a key piece here. I think this is darkness. I think this is, I'm going to say, evil. I think this is an agenda. I think that this is specific. I think that with all the pieces that we look at, and we're looking at a huge puzzle here, people, a huge puzzle of corrupt, disrupt, disconnect, and affect humanity. We have across the board going on with the food, the air we breathe, with the chemicals in our foods, with this technology, with the imprints and inputs and training, brainwashing going on. It sounds like we're in a brave new world. It sure does, doesn't it? So why we talk about this, because we see clearly what is going on, but it's not to terrify people or get you down. What it is I feel, and I do believe, that it is important that we become smart.
Yep.
We have to get smarter. We have to get our wisdom ramped up here. We have to get smart, and we have to understand what is going on that is affecting everyone, and because this is quite serious.
We're under attack.
Well, we are under attack, and I want to say that it's the attack of the spirituality. I feel that this creation is sacred. I feel that we ourselves, our children, we are sacred. If you are tending towards this, and if you are tending toward the fact that we do have a spirit embodied within us, and you could go even to the words that we are, you know, created in the image of God, what does that mean to you? You can go far back. You can go way back into biblical times where, you know, the fallen angels, which were, you call them, well, why did they fall? Why did the angels fall? Well, what happened? Well, they were not really good people, good entities. They wanted to control this. They wanted to be gods. Well, now we have scientists wanting to be gods.
Yeah.
we have all this intrusive stuff going on, intrusive frequencies and energies and waves of energies and the D-wave and the artificial intelligence and CERN. And
oh, I got a thought on that artificial intelligence. Here's another sci-fi aspect to possibly potentially think about. You know, artificial intelligence is supposed to learn, right? And so if you got an artificial intelligence that's watching trending things in, like, say, in kids' world, if you go out and look, go to your local Walmart, walk down the toy section and look at some of the toys. They look meaner. They look evil. They got, you know, magical themes to them and stuff like that. So what if, hypothetically, this doggone artificial intelligence that's basically there, supposedly there, to serve humanity, to help us out, you know, and it finds what we like and it modifies different things. What if this doggone artificial intelligence started running amok, scaring the crud out of people? I think there was actually a video one time long back, I think it was like Star Wars or Star Trek, not Star Wars, Star Trek, I think it was. They got this holodeck thing, you know, and if you get inside there, it's supposed to like cater to your needs, but something went awry, and so when you're in this fantasy world, it was like quite literally terrifying. You see what I'm saying? It's not real. It's, you just go in there for like this three-dimensional, you know, video or whatever. You see what I'm saying?
Well, you have people like Elon Musk, who has interestingly given out warnings right from the get-go about artificial intelligence. Is basically he's very concerned about it and says that this will destroy our world. It will destroy humanity. But yet he's pushing for a lot of this technology himself. And then you have Zuckerberg, you know, a robot, basically. I think he's an artificial intelligence.
I would never, ever put that technology on my head. And I'll tell you why. Because right now, we already have hard enough time trying to contend with the reality that we live in. So what if you actually get inside this thing, and it's so doggone realistic that you never come out of it? You already think you left, because in the illusion, you actually up and left. You got out of it, and you go to work and do everything that you do, but you're really still laying there on a slab or whatever, and you're in some sort of virtual reality. Now, wouldn't that be terrible? Think about it.
Well, and nevertheless, back to, we are in deep doo-doo, folks, and that we have to get smarter, we have to get wiser, we have to wake up to the fact that this is very real, what is happening on all these levels, of intrusiveness into our minds and our physicality as well as our spirit. Our critical thinking is down the tubes. Our morals are heading there fast.
They went over the falls in the grocery cart. That's what I'm saying.
So you have, just to go back quickly here, there's something called the YouTube Kids. All kids programs, right, is now being intruded upon by these creepy things, how to kill yourself, and there's this, it's like interesting to me how people will follow the creepiest, darkest, awful, most chilling things and stick with it. What is that? You have this Freaky Frank on the intruding into the children's video there for kids. Then you have the Minecraft videos, which basically does depict a school shooting. It's a cartoon centered on human trafficking, by the way. And one about a child who committed suicide by stabbing another, and another who attempted to commit suicide by hanging. But we do see this. We see this real, in real time. We see this going on. That's why I say I have noticed the rise of the most horrific things going on. You have to question that. What on earth is influencing, and how does it influence, and how are people made vulnerable, basically? Our society has really, has been incrementally over centuries, I want to say, kind of like chipped away at and destroyed, where you have this, the family is destroyed, you have drugs, you have alcohol, you have all these influences destroying people's lives, you have fentanyl, on and on and on. What are we going to do? This is what we need to come to. This is very important to know. I say know your enemy. Don't be ignorant. Don't be arrogant.
Well,
don't dismiss so easily what we are saying. Yeah. We're not making this stuff up. We're talking about real things here.
Speaking of your enemy, which one of these three publications do you trust the most? The Washington Post, the New York Magazine, or CNN?
None of them. I have to say I don't trust any of them.
Well,
and
listen to these headlines. All right, the Momo Challenge isn't a viral danger children online, but it sure is viral. Washington Post. How are kids supposed to learn to be smart online if adults are such big dummies? New York Magazine. And parents, please stop freaking out over the Momo Challenge, CNN. Now,
oh yeah,
I can really trust all these particular people to say, no, it's not what you think it is. If the kid has access to it, yeah, it's what we think it is. Exactly. This is why. Oh man.
Everybody out there in People for People, Patty just put in a very, very important video. If you want to do research and see what's going on, this video she just popped in, it's an artificial intelligence religion. Okay, it's a Godhead robo religion started by fired Uber exec. It's called The Way of the Future. You want to Google that. This guy is starting a religion that has already been registered, by the way, as a real entity, about artificial intelligence as a god. And that people should bow down to this god because this is the future. And he's pushing this as a religion. So you're going to eliminate creator, God, and now start worshiping and honoring this artificial intelligence godhead. This is very real. This is not, we're not making this up. And the thing is that there's the, inside this information is that if you don't agree with this, if you don't sign up for this, you will be basically on their list, on their tag list. As a dissenter against the artificial godhead.
Well, tell them I'm on the list. I'm putting myself on there. I got a Sharpie in my pocket. I'll write it down as soon as I see the paper.
I think we are all on the list here. I don't know.
Well, you know, here's the thing. This is what really bothers me. CNN and the ones, Washington Post and New York Times, they put all these articles talking about it was a hoax and all this kind of stuff. But regardless, somebody out there put this thing out there. All right? And even if it wasn't necessarily directed at the kids, which I still think it probably was, more than likely, because you see what's going on in the world. But nonetheless, just directed at adults is bad enough because adults love their children, and if they think their children's in danger, they're obviously going to want to react. And that brings me right back around to the full circle of who did this to begin with, and was it to actually get control of the internet by scaring the crud out of mom and pop and the kids to tell everybody, well, we got to get control of this internet. We got to censor everything. You see what I'm saying? It's a problem action solution, problem reaction solution that has an agenda to literally censor everything you say. Once again, you listen to who we tell you to listen to, not who you want to listen to, kind of thing.
I just found this. I'm going to read. I'm popping this into you because this is a really important piece here. This is where we're heading. I'm not heading there, but this is what is being introduced, and many people are signing up. This is an article that says Inside the First Church of Artificial Intelligence. If you look at the picture of this guy, he looks kind of creepy. But then again, we should not judge people by their looks, but I am learning to feel and sense people's energies, because that's what we need to do. We need to get smart and wise about understanding the frequencies of people, the energy that emanates from that person. If you have somebody in your home or your environment or your meeting or wherever it is, or even looking at, that you want to listen to what they have to say, we need to get smart and not be foolish and arrogant and dumb about the feelings that we're getting emanating from that person. These are key things for us folks today to really help protect ourselves and our families, and to know what on earth we are being subjected to. So that's, I just wanted to add that. This man's is Anthony Lewandowski. He was an engineer. Triggered a notorious lawsuit. He could be unveiling his latest startup instead of laying the foundations for a new religion, but he is doing just that. Artificial intelligence has already inspired billion-dollar companies, far-reaching research programs, and scenarios of both transcendence and doom. He is creating its first church. The new religion of artificial intelligence is called Way of the Future. It represents an unlikely next act for the Silicon Valley robotics wonderkind at the center of high-stakes legal battle between Uber and Waymo, Alphabet's autonomous vehicle company. So the documents state that activities will focus on the realization, the acceptance, and the worship of a godhead based on artificial intelligence developed through computer hardware and software that includes funding research to help create the divine artificial intelligence itself. The religion will seek to build working relationships with artificial intelligence industry leaders and create a membership through community outreach, initially targeting artificial intelligence professionals and laypersons who are interested in the worship of a godhead based on artificial intelligence. Now, this plans to conduct the workshops and educational programs throughout the San Francisco Bay Area beginning this year. Okay, that's the hot spot right there, San Francisco Bay Area. The timeline might be overly ambitious, given that the Waymo Uber suit, in which Lewandowski is accused of stealing self-driving car secrets, is set for an early December trial. What is going to be created will effectively be a god. Now, I remember looking at that D-Wave video I talked about the other day on the Roundtable show, that the fellow who created that said that it is like an altar to an alien god. So this is coming at us from many different directions. You know, so he said, this guy says, I wanted a way for everybody to participate in this, to be able to shape it. If you're not a software engineer, you can still help. You can still be a part of this. So the idea needs to spread, he said. The church is how we spread the word, the gospel. If you believe in it, start a conversation with someone else and help them understand the same things. He believes that a change is coming, and I'll say he's right, a change that will transform every aspect of human existence, disrupting employment, leisure, religion, the economy, and possibly decide our very survival as a species. Okay. He's working with computers, robots, and artificial intelligence.
So, when this digital god comes onto the scene, is he going to start shutting down the Knights of the Round Table show because he don't like what we're talking about? maybe it's not going to be a he either. Might not even be a he or a she. It might just be a what you call those new... There's like 70 or some odd different genders now. So...
Well, this is... So the question is this an image of the beast? Ex-Google engineer, this is the one I'm talking about, Lewandowski, establishes religion to worship the artificial intelligence godhead. And so the question is, yeah, is this the image of the beast? I don't know. I'm not saying it is. This is just, you know, this is the questions that people are asking. Well, what the heck is going on?
Either way, it's disturbing. Is there going to be an evil version of this particular one as well? You know, like the heaven and hell scenario? So, you know...
Well, the fallen, the good, the whatever,
that's
right?
That's why I was asking that crazy question about whether or not artificial intelligence was trying to cater to human... and learning about the things that we like, and they see that, you know, people like scary movies, and people like cartoons, and some sort of weird fascination with zombies lately, you know, like these toys. If you go look at these toys, they're just, they look like dead people. I mean, it's disgusting. I just don't get it. Honestly, why would you want a toy that looks like a zombie that's dead or whatever, you know, that depicts death as something cool?
Well, you have to question people's, again, people's morals and people's critical thinking and what is going on that people would do this.
And what kind of parent would buy that for their children? Like, there's dolls out there, poop dolls. They call them poop emojis. And people, for some reason... and think it's funny. I just don't see the humor in giving a child a toy depicting a turd. I'm sorry, you know. I know that sounds rude. I apologize for even saying it because it's just frustrating as all get out. But when I was a kid, we had some cool toys, but they weren't nasty, you know. So what's going on? You know?
Well, I question that myself. What's going on with people that they are doing such insane, horrific things these days? And again, I ask the question because obviously there's an influence. There's a lack of critical thinking. There's also a drop in morals, a dissension of morals. but what is that? How does this happen? Okay, this is what we have to start looking at instead of just screaming about it and instead of just getting beside ourselves with frustration and anger and fear and all that. We have to start looking at what is it that is influencing people to the degree that we see. And I will say that this is part of a prophecy. Now, again, I'm going to say prophecy to me, in my estimation, is not something written in stone. Prophecy is basically gives us an opportunity to know that a possible scenario, like the prophecy is speaking of, will occur unless we, the people, shift our behaviors and various others and take responsibility and take action that would eliminate that possible prophecy of happening. And I think this is where we are today, because I'm going to say it again, we have a power, an unknown power. We are constantly creating our experience, our reality, by what we believe in, for instance, what we focus on, our words. Again, it's the frequency, the energies. Like attracts like. Excuse me, what goes round comes round. We have to get smart and wise and know that this is real. These things are very real. It's very ancient. This is ancient knowledge, ancient wisdom. So if you have a faction of a population that wants to control the rest of the population, they're going to know how to influence people psychologically, emotionally, and spiritually affect them. And this is what we're looking at. So I know we have tools, and I know we have solutions. I just talk about this stuff because it's getting more and more and more and more bizarre and freaky. And this is, again, part of prophecy, you know?
Yeah. It basically, it's been said in a couple different things that I won't go into because I know some people get frustrated about it, but...
Well, I can say it's not just biblical prophecy. It's indigenous prophecy. It's ancient prophecy.
Yeah.
We were told and warned about many things, and also we know history repeats itself. If you do any research, if you're interested in knowing... What has happened? What have we been lied about? What has been covered up? What is the truth and reality of things? You have to do research. You just can't sit there like a bump on a couch and think you know something, because you know nothing.
I think the easier question to ask would be, what haven't we been lied about?
Well, I'm going to agree with you on there. It is true. I feel that we have been severely lied about every aspect of humanity right from the beginning, right from the get-go. And we are, you know, the thing is, I think people are mostly good people. I think it's hard for people to wrap their minds around evil. I mean, there's been a push to basically eliminate any idea about that there is evil out there, that there are evil entities, that there is even, you know, an entity, an energy, a frequency that verges into the devil or Satanism or a Satan being. You know, if you don't believe in that image of what it is, it's an energy, it's a frequency. People that do horrible things create a frequency. That frequency has a life. It continues.
Let me say something real quick about this Satanist deal on there. I've seen a lot of different videos out there about how, like during the holidays, like Christmas or whatever, that people want to put a statue of Baphomet next to baby Jesus. And then I listen to some of the Satanists that say that they don't even believe that there is a Satan or a God. They just do that to get under the skin of the people who do. Now, so that kind of negative vibe put out there to intentionally upset somebody that you know that's going to upset somebody. If you sit there talking about putting a statue of the devil right next to, you know, what somebody believes to be the Son of God, that's obviously going to cause somebody to be mad. You see what I'm saying? So, how is it that on one side of the fence... These people out there are hollering hate crimes and all this kind of stuff, but when it comes to certain other, you know, cultures or belief systems, it's okay to, you know, basically torment these people. You see what I'm trying to point out here? I don't think it's just a one-sided deal. I think what's going on is that these people are deliberately allowing these other individuals to do things to certain groups of people to cause a problem. You see what I mean?
Well, I'm not sure about that. As far as them not believing in, I mean, you're practicing Satanism is a religion.
Well, some of them say that. Some of them actually say that they don't really believe in the devil. It's not like that. They basically would call themselves something like naturalist or something like that.
Well, let's say that they don't believe in a devil, but let's say their behaviors and what their rituals and their various other blood whatever's letting and the things that they do actually cause that frequency in.
Well, yeah, that's what... It just don't make no sense to me. If you're sitting there praising Satan or whatever, you know, there's a biblical version of Satan, and there's their version of Satan, and you know, I've actually met somebody who claims to be a Satanist, and I can't remember what brand of Satanist he called himself, but he actually says that basically they don't believe there's really a God or a Satan. They just, they're more into natural things, you know, and stuff like that.
Well, you have the church, the Catholic Church basically says that there is a surge in Satanism and enough that they have been calling for trainings of new exorcists in the church.
But here's the thing. I'm kind of all over the doggone the field here today, but what I'm guessing is, where do these people come up with the ideas that they got that gives them these views on the world? Man, it don't matter what subject that you pull up. Where did this information come from? It's like some sort of massive mind screw of epic proportions when you start talking to people out there what they actually believe is going on out here in the world. I mean,
this is interesting conversation what you're bringing up, because I'm going to pop this article in as far as your remark about Satanists not actually believing in that, but yet their behaviors are, you know, running along those lines about what it is. In this way, it's called, I just popped it into you, it's called, I lost it, The Rise of Satanism in America. How they focus on activism, religious pluralism, and social diversity, but surprisingly not devil worship.
It's like under supposedly a nicer label. Is that what? Because they actually got a video series called Lucifer now, where I guess he's kind of
it's a weekly. It's one of the most popular weekly shows, I guess. So. You have this satanic temple is becoming more and more firmly established across the United States. It's largely composed of individuals who don't even worship Satan in the first place, but they center on a different interpretation of biblical teachings, and there's basically a documentary on this. I popped this into the chat. The reason this became a feature-length documentary was that I found so many interesting surprises. Hail Satan fittingly addresses the controversy surrounding the relatively neophyte group. Now, this is just one group. There are others not so exposed, and let's be real about this, that are doing very evil, dark stuff. They are doing satanic stuff. They are doing blood rituals. They are sacrificing children to Baal and blah, blah, blah. We know these things are happening. This is just one group here that's put itself out in the public's eye. I think it's just a cover, frankly. I'm just going to say that, because in reality, there are people, groups of people, that have been doing things, types of sacrifices and really, really awful things that we have become very well aware of. So, to me, I'm not going to spend my time and waste my energy on this particular, you know, group, because I think it's just a cover-up in my estimation. It's just, yeah, let's make it all look nice, and we're working, it's about the environment or, you know, whatever. I'm just saying, that's my perspective because of what I have researched. And the things that I have found out about what is really going on in some hidden, it's nothing new, but some hidden circles.
Yep.
I'm just, I feel, you know, what?
Did you get my message in the Skype chat?
No. All right, I will get it. No, I did not. Go ahead.
Yeah. I'll be right back.
In my inner standing, I just looking at all this stuff that over the years that I've been researching and talking about, and that there's good, bad, and ugly, in all aspects of our societies. And I think that basically I'm going to say it feels to me, it seems to me that from what I'm looking at, that war, for instance, is a sacrifice, a blood sacrifice. Who wants war? Who must have war? I mean, we don't want war. The people don't want war. But who wants war? And who sets up these wars for us? And then, you know, we have thousands of our young people on both sides of whomever's fighting, dying. And to me, it's like a blood sacrifice. Because it is a sacrifice. Because it's, war is a horrible thing. And war affects people's minds to do things that they would not ordinarily do. And that's just one of my perspectives, is who really needs the war? War is a moneymaker, but it's not just that. War keeps the wheels turning, in all of society. War creates jobs, it creates, pushes the economy, but yet there's something else going on. You have, the deaths of people in a horrible way. To me, it's a sacrifice. It's a frequency of what happens during the time of war in these environments. And we do know that throughout time, there have been certain places on the earth where atrocities have occurred, and there's a frequency there. There is an energy remaining there. And many people who know and have the ability can go to these places and free them of these of these frequencies of trauma, of terror, and so on, and the assault upon human life.
Well, I'm kind of wondering if that, there's... You remember we talked about that doggone sign that didn't have to have an audible sound, it just sent out a wave, or like a radio wave that people could hear in their head, they'd think they hear somebody talking, and that was for some sort of... ghost kind of show, if you know what I'm saying. Paranormal.
Yeah.
Paranormal. That was the advertisement for a paranormal show. That was only on the scene for a little while, and then it kind of disappeared. So would that be something that somebody could actually use to make people think things that weren't real, or you know what I mean?
Well, I think there is that. We know that there is that technology, but I just have to keep remembering that, and I am experiencing this, and many other people are, that there are various things going on that are affecting us. Someone may appear in your life that is carrying a demonic entity or an energy, a frequency of something that is corrupt.
Well,
they may
I don't
appear.
Doubt that, none at all.
What?
I said I don't doubt that none at all.
Well, that's been going on. I mean, I have seen these entities upon people. I have seen what happens, and I have seen how people are controlled by these demonic entities. I mean, look, if good and bad, positive and negative, okay, the light and the dark, good and evil, these are part of creation, you know? I mean, this is real. We can't ignore this. I'm not saying be in fear and terror of it. But if we understand that there is good and there is power in the good and power in the light and more power in compassion and love than there is in the opposite, well, you're given an opportunity basically to choose because we have free will. We've been given free will. And use your free will to choose. You can either be swayed or pushed or affected by things, but you have your own inner truth meter, and this is where people have to get smart and wise. We have an instinct inside of us that alerts us, that alarms us, and I call that the truth meter. That is something that we all have. You'll say, well, I have this feeling, or I had this feeling around that person, and I didn't pay attention to it, but now I realize, wow, that person was a dark person. Now I see it, you know?
Well, with that said, that's
so
all
we
the,
do.
That's all the, huh? Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but with that said, that's all the more reason why we should be on guard for keeping our kids out of harm's way, whether it be through media or, you know, people out there in this world, because this is crazy stuff going on out here. You know? You gotta,
well, throughout history, we have heard and been shown and read about the dark and the light, the evil entities, the war of the gods, the good ones, the bad ones. I mean, these are not fairy tales. These are very real. People have experienced miracles, extraordinary miracles. Do you believe in those miracles?
I do.
Well, then why wouldn't you believe in the opposite, where people have experienced a demonic entity attacking them? I mean, yeah, we have psychological issues going on with a lot of people, but some of these, a majority of these circumstances are very real. But people don't want to go there because it's too scary or too terrifying, you know. But I think this is the issue, that people do not want to look at this creation as the way it was created. Dark, light, positive, negative, good, bad, you know, and so on. This is part of creation. We have it inside of us. I mean, we all could choose to do something horrific. We could be tempted, and we are. Many of us are tempted. Even Jesus was tempted, as we know. But I'm just saying that the ignorance of people, the inability to comprehend the fact that this is real, is a big issue with them. It's a serious issue. How do you build your battle, your strength and against this battle, the spiritual battle? How do you put on your shield? How do you ward off? How do you hold yourself in the light? These things are very important. It's part of human nature. And you could just say, well, there could be just a bad person. You still have to know, is this person, what's the vibe I'm getting from that person? I'm not saying that every person has an entity upon them, or a devil, or whatever. Some people have just bad behavior.
Well, the dictionary says demonic, of resembling and characteristics of demons and evil spirits. Well, some people out there might just be freaking rotten people, you know, but...
Yes,
yeah.
That's what I'm saying, but we still want to know.
Yeah.
Don't you want to know, for the protection of yourself and your family, how to basically discern, what's this energy I get around this person? What is this feeling?
When you start talking about, you know, stuff like that, you can't discount some of the things that's actually going on in the political scene, because... You know, where these people are out there talking about social justice and being nice to people and, you know, fighting against hate crime. Have you heard some of the things that come out of the mouths of even congressmen and senators that, you know, are supposedly social justice warriors? You know, talking about going out beating somebody up or getting in their face and, you know, all this kind of stuff. How is that any social justice when they're saying stuff like that? And even when you watch videos about, like the Antifa groups and all the different protesters out there, you know, getting out there and getting rowdy and violent, and some of the things that come out of their mouths is just, it's beyond obscene. You see what I'm saying? So what kind of force is behind all that? There's got to be some dark side on the back there telling people to go out there and beat each other up. There's a lot of videos on YouTube that have to do with people fighting each other. It's like people want to see each other beat each other up. There's all kinds of videos about, you know, black on white violence and vice versa. And, you know, it just seems to be just like Paul Harvey said. Back in 1965, we play it before the Knights of the Round Table a lot, but he was almost like prophetic the way that he explained modern day culture back then, you know, so.
Yes, he was a prophet, he really was. All I know, or let me say this, all I am learning about is about frequency, the power that we do have, that there is positive and negative. That is a scientific fact. It's not out of my imagination. Positive and negative frequencies. I mean, that's scientific, right?
Yeah.
And so all that I am learning about is about the frequencies of our words. Now, taking that, excuse me, you know that words can really hurt people.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, words, our words are powerful.
Words are sharp. Your words are like a sword, you know. You can either lift somebody up to the highest reaches of what we believe to be heaven or to the lowest depths of the darkest abyss if you want. That's how powerful your words are.
Yes. You know? And, especially when you're a child.
And if you're focusing that towards the children, scaring the heck out of them, telling them we only got 12 years and our planet's doomed if we don't get this so-called climate change. Regardless of all the facts, facts don't matter anymore in today's society. It's what you believe and what people tell you and, you know, what you're willing to do about it. It's nuts. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, there are ways people use words to control people. Okay. Yeah. When you terrify people, you have a more control over them because then you have the solution. You come up with a solution. There's an agenda there. But the issues that happen, the serious issues that break down people's ability for critical thinking and give them a strong foundation begins in early our childhood. Okay, so that is when this manipulation and the infiltrating into certain ideas and authorities, rules and guidelines and so on begin in childhood. And so you don't have, in a way, you have your own inner instinct that tells you something isn't right, but you are a child. And the authorities are telling you that you're wrong. The authorities are telling you, no, you must listen to me, or you're bad, or you're not acceptable, or you're not going to be loved. So this is a point where a child becomes completely owned and terrified. Because a child feels, well, if I'm thrown out, or if I'm not acceptable, if I'm not loved, I can't survive. This is a real feeling. So this causes people basically to become very controlled, brainwashed, you know, and manipulated when you're a child. And society is set up that way. A whole of society is run by authorities, every aspect of our lives. And our parents were inundated with that, and our grandparents also were set up like that. So who can you rely on when you are a child? When you know something in your own self that isn't right, how do you deal with that as a child? Because if you are not acceptable as that child, if you're the outsider or the crazy one or the weird one as a child, that's pretty devastating. So these things start very early in certain generations. So now you have several generations here that have been lied to, manipulated, and controlled in all aspects of their lives. And here we are today dealing with this because now we're trying to get things straight. We're trying to look through this mud, this heavy duty, the lies, the control throughout history, and we're trying to get clear on what is really going on. So, but there are people that don't have that ability because they are so controlled. They have no critical thinking. Well, they've lost the connection to the source within them, which is ever present, by the way. It hasn't disappeared. It's just been covered up with all these lies.
That's one of the things that I was thinking about all the time I was listening to you talk was about, I'm trying to figure out here by bringing up all these subjects is what in the heck is really going on? That's it. I mean, if my mind is spinning like this, listening to all this different information, you could imagine, you know, some child out there who's been told like multiple different things in multiple different directions, how do they formulate a conscious decision where they even want to go with their life when you got influences, adults influencing children to do ridiculousness, you know, the whole drag queen in the doggone library incident, you know, that was unheard of when I was younger. You wouldn't have never heard of people doing like that. And then, of course, everybody said, well, this is 2019, and we're progressed, you know. Well, I don't think that's a progression. I think that's a regression.
Well, it's politically correct.
Yeah.
If you disagree, you're politically incorrect.
Yeah.
You see, if you have common sense, you're politically incorrect.
So people in our generations were hateful people. We were intolerant. Yeah, right. Now that ain't what's going on here. This is bigger than, you know, somebody being tolerant. You know, when you're raised up in any society or community or with any type of morals whatsoever, and you see the craziness that's going on out there. I keep saying YouTube all the time because I watch a lot of YouTube videos. Some people might think I'm addicted to YouTube, you know, but maybe we are. But
go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that trying to see what's going on out there in the world, videos are a pretty good way to see, you know, what's real and what ain't, and then looking up articles and doing some reading and all that kind of stuff. You know, you've been down the rabbit hole, you and Patty both, and we've seen some crazy stuff. But
I just want to clarify. I'm just trying to clarify what we're talking about here in a way that can help people to open to this, because we do know that people have done, and throughout history, some really terrible things, and they influence others to do these acts for them as well. And people will follow a leader or a political person or a guru or whomever, whatever, to drink the Kool-Aid, right?
Yep.
And so what's going on with those people, you know? Well, again, it's an incremental process, you see. So people can genuinely be searching for something. And this is a key piece here. So people are empty inside, and that's part of the agenda, is to empty people inside where they don't have any source. They're not connected to source. They don't have a strong spiritual foundation. So they are searching and looking for someone to tell them the answers, all right, of who I am, what I'm here for, what's really going on, what is this all about. And there will always be someone. There will always be a person who basically has a mind of manipulation and control, who wants to be the leader, the king, the head of, or whatever. and if you're looking at the sense of what does it feel like for a person to be in control of people's lives? What does that feel like to that person? Okay, so there's something very wrong, obviously, with that person to begin with, but they are looking for people who they can control. And there will always be people who are lost and who are longing and needy and hungry and who are empty inside because they don't have a spiritual foundation or a connectedness to source, who will follow those people.
Yep.
This is like a human nature, okay? So then you have the manipulator or the controller who wants more power, and the people begin to believe in this person because they're empty themselves, and this person is telling them things and giving them information. So they glom onto that person, they'll follow that person. So incrementally that person, the controller, has the ability to manipulate people psychologically and move them in deeper and deeper and deeper into a relationship where they fully, completely trust that person enough that they will commit suicide.
Yeah.
Was it the Hale-Bopp comet where those people killed themselves in a suicide group?
They were supposed to go to a UFO in the sky. I would have think it would have been better for the UFO to land and pick them up than
a UFO in the sky. And then you have the purple, then you have the Kool-Aid incident. There's many, many like this. You have recently a mother and a daughter together just murdered, I don't know, three or four of the kids because they believed the world was going to end.
Yeah, regardless of the facts.
How many times have we heard that?
Yeah, regardless of the facts. That's the whole thing. I like to consider myself awake. I'm sure you do too. And so whenever when the facts don't match the story, I question things. Like I started off by saying 7,000 feet of snow out there. That's pretty dramatic. That's a lot of snow.
Yeah, and well, the point is I asked the question, how did those people come to that?
Yep.
How did that woman with her daughter, her older daughter, come to this point where they believed that the world was going to end enough to kill their children?
Well,
where does this information come from? Well, if they didn't have YouTube or they didn't have connection through technology, would they have gotten that information? I don't know.
That's a good question. Yeah, well, you know, the trick wasn't in what I said about 7,000 feet, because I didn't lie. I mean, yeah, you can look 7,000 feet to all four points of the compass, and there's snow everywhere. So I didn't lie, but that is how, when you talk about all these people that are out there suckering people into believing stuff, they're saying, oh, look around, the weather's all terrible and everything. It's the global warming, it's the climate change, it's a climate disruption or whatever. And these people will follow blindly because they honestly think the world's coming to an end and they got to save the planet and all the people. So in their mind, it has become a religion. They believe in it so wholeheartedly, no matter what fact you set down on the table, they will have no part in listening to what you say. Nothing. They won't listen
to
anything.
Well, the thing is that people have a power, but they are told they are powerless.
Yep.
There is hope, but people are told that it is hopeless. Okay? And these are the things that people have to start to realize, that we are not powerless, and it is not hopeless. This is the point, and people do have their own inner wisdom. They have their own truth meter. They have all these things gifted to them by Creator, by Great Spirit, that they came here with, but these things have been manipulated and dumbed out of them. And they have no resource. They have no connection to spirit. They have no connection to source. This is where we are in serious trouble.
Yep.
Okay, because then if you have no connection, if you have no spiritual foundation, if you have no source connection, okay, you will go out looking for someone. And there will always be someone out there who will tell you, I have the answer for you. Follow me.
Yep, that's it.
And where we go one, we go all.
They get misguided by half-truths and craziness, and it's just like today you can just make up anything if you're on the mainstream media or even in the alternative media, as long as it fits the agenda. It's all right. Anything else out there, you can't talk about, you know, truth or reality or question anything. You know, when they did all the censorship of all the different school shootings and stuff like that, when people questioned things that were going on that just didn't seem to add up, you know, when the facts didn't match the story and people spoke out about it, they got shut down. Flat out, they got shut down. So how are we supposed to determine the truth in a media that is so controlled by the people who actually own the platforms or the media outlets such as MSNBC, ABC, CNN? They can tell you everything they want about the President of the United States, and you ain't got no other information, no other sources. How you know the truth? One of the things that the internet has done for people was that there were all kinds of documents loaded onto it and information, and you could go back in time and look at different articles and things that people said way back then and match them up to what they're saying now. And so there was some research capabilities available. That's getting fewer and farther between, if you understand what I'm saying. It's just when the day they shut this internet off on us, the internet that comes back up is not one I'm going to trust. What do you think?
Well, I think we have to begin to really build our spiritual foundation. I think we really have to connect with a source.
I agree.
That we feel fully and strongly, powerfully connected to, because we must rely on this. There is that source. It is now time to really return to that, our original nature of who we really truly are. So that, I think, is the key piece, because we will keep looking outside ourselves for an answer. The answer is within us. We will keep feeling hungry, where we will be vulnerable then to others who are manipulators, who are controllers, who want to basically own people and destroy them.
Yep.
You know, or manipulate them, where they have no critical thinking, where they are basically devastated by these persons. So I feel this is the key piece. I think it's a spiritual battle right across the board. It's a battle for our spirit, It is a battle that we are really struggling against here, is the dark and the light. May just put up the D-Wave quantum computers that I talked about in the roundtable the other day, where the fellow who created this D-Wave computer said that it is like an altar to an alien god. And that's a whole other thing. Now, if you look at the negatives here and the disturbing things that are going on, remember, these are very real, but there's also the other side.
Yeah.
And this is what we cannot forget. This is what we must rely upon and remember and be strong with, that there is another side.
Yeah.
You know, and I do believe in the power of prayer. I have experienced miracles beyond your belief. I have seen the dark entities. I have actually battled these entities. I have also seen the angelic ones. I have seen the beings of light. I have all these experiences, and so I know these both exist. And we are pretty much in a circumstance now where we are being asked to choose. What do you want to align with? Because it is up to you. I can't tell you what to align with. I mean, I can talk till I'm blue in the face, and people will just ignore it or doubt it or think I'm a wackadoodle, and
well,
that's fine.
I don't think you're a wackadoodle. I want to answer a quick question to Charles Two Dog in the People for People chat room. I think Grizz already...
Oh.
Charles said, do you believe Fox News? Just asking. I don't believe Fox News just as much as I don't believe any of the other news, because both sides have an agenda, but I'm kind of almost like on Grizz's side, more so than the rest, but still, nope. It's trust but verify, or verify before you trust, I don't know. Either way, I look at all of them with a skeptical eye.
Well, I'm going to say that I agree. I think that there are certain things, as again, it's just not flat out look at Fox News, period. It's just not flat out look at CBS or CNN or whatever's. It's just not flat out looking at it and taking what they say as fact. You have to do your research, just like any other news station.
Yep.
Fox, CNN, Washington Post, I don't care who they are. You just can't accept what they say. You must do research, and you must find the facts. You just, see, this is the issue. It's not whether I believe in Fox News or not. I do research on what Fox News is saying. I do whatever research on whomever's telling me something, if I'm interested. But I'm not going to quote them unless I find out my facts for sure.
Yeah, that's it.
Believe and that's it. How we have to be that way. So it's not about believing this one or that one. It's like, okay, what are you doing to find the facts and the truth about what so-and-so just threw out onto the internet?
Yeah.
That's up to you. That's up to every one of us.
Lisa Allcap said all news is misleading, to say the least. It's true. It really is true. Even Fox News, you know, as much as I watch Fox News more than I watch the other ones, because the other ones aggravate the heck out of me, because they don't really align with my values or science or whatever, but nonetheless, I still am skeptical, because I've seen Fox do some dirty deeds on there when it come to, like, when Ron Paul was running for president. Do you remember that?
I do.
They treated that man like trash. He was supposed to be a presidential candidate. He didn't even get a chance to even get elected. You know?
Well, I will say one thing about the other mainstream medias is that we do know that they are run by the Mockingbird syndrome.
Yeah.
Fox does not do the Mockingbird. Fox is not run that. But again, there are some things about Fox that I question as well.
Yep.
So but I know for sure. What?
I said, so that's where we stand on that. But, you know, earlier when you was mentioned about being a wackadoodle, seeing and witnessing things in your life, you know, I don't look at you like that at all. I know that there's more to this world than meets the eye, and that we need to find our way back to whatever it is we believe God to be, because, you know, there's dark and there's light. And you can either stand in the light or you can go to the dark. And it's that. Even in science, there's a negative and a positive, like you said. Now, you're either good or you're going to go bad, one of the two. There's maybe a somewhere in the middle, partially good, partially bad, that kind of thing. But I don't know. The book says you can't serve two masters, so you're either serving one or the other, as far as I'm concerned. But I don't know. I'm just trying to make sense of it all, folks. That's the simple of it, everything. I'm just like everybody else out there, looking down the rabbit hole, trying to figure out what the heck is going on. And when I see things that don't make any sense, I'm going to talk about it. That's what it's all about.
I think the time is now, as I receive this prophecy, the time is where we are in the timeline of the verging into the age of Aquarius, which is signified as the age of enlightenment. We are verging into that the time is now, that we must rely upon the source within us, and the source within us connects us to the divine source, the creative source. Okay, the ultimate source, the one. You can call it God, you can call it Yahweh, you can call it Wangkantan, whatever you call it. It doesn't matter to me. It is something far greater, okay? You have to be careful of your language, of course, because everything has been usurped. Everything has been manipulated. All the words that we use oftentimes are not what we think they are, and we have to be very careful of this. But this is the timeline now where you cannot... So stop watching the media, period, and see what you get when you go out on nature and ask for guidance from source. There's where you're going to find your truth there.
I agree.
Okay, the media has an agenda. Every system, when I say system, I'm talking about political, education, media, religion, and financial system. Every system that we are under is manipulated, period. It's not for our benefit.
No.
But what is not manipulated, what is not corrupted, is nature, is the mother and the source. That is not corrupted. It remains stable. It remains in harmony and balance. It remains as the healer, the giver of life. And this is where you're going to find. This is where you're going to find your truths, people. Stop watching the media. Get disconnected from the matrix, because that's what it is.
I have a question for everybody out there. You know, sometimes you wonder what the actual leaders of this world believe. And even those out there who believe in different things, there's a question in there. Anon9663 in the Shaziz Mad Science chat room there said, every year at the Bohemian Grove, they hold a cremation of care ceremony. Ever wonder why? Is it working? And that's a good question, because if you actually look at the people who go to the Bohemian Grove, they're of the upper echelon, so to speak. They're the Congress and the Senate and the rich folks that show up at this thing, and from what we understand, there's a lot of weird stuff that goes on there. So what is it that these folks actually believe? Are these folks into Satanism or any other new wave kind of praying to an artificial intelligence, new God or whatever? You got people out there talking about building a God with artificial intelligence. What happens if that ain't such a nice God whenever it finally gets around and realizes that all these people, all the people are out here saying to each other that humanity is the problem? There was a video out there, a sci-fi movie, where artificial intelligence destroyed all of humans, got rid of them.
They are saying now, they are finding out that some of these artificial intelligence that they have been working with actually are sort of like taking control and not following the rules.
Well, don't surprise me none. So could this possibly be part of this deal where we're getting bombarded with all these different creepy things that are being directed at the kids, or even adults for that matter? It doesn't matter if that ended up being a hoax or not with the Momo thing. I don't believe it was a hoax, but either way, even if it was, it's still directed at the adults. You scare the adults into believing that their children's in jeopardy, you're going to get a reaction. Everything that we're having to deal with behind the scenes is an agenda problem reaction solution. They create the problem, they come in with the solution, and so if your children are under attack, if we're finally, you know, get to the point where the internet has become a cesspool of really terrifying and bad information, not just directed at the kids but the adults, then somewhere along the line somebody's got to step in to save us all from this, what's turned into a bad thing. So now the internet goes down, and the internet that comes back up has a completely different history, everything. And this time around, you got to log in with a number that directly correlates to you. There is no anonymity or I can't even say it. There is no secrecy. You don't go online just to surf and not be followed around. They know who you are, where you live, what.
Well, they're doing that already.
Yeah,
they're doing that already. But you know, my perception of we are going to need somebody to save us is to me. We are the only ones. We are who we have been waiting for, as one elder says. We are who we have been waiting for. No one is going to come and save us. No one is going to make it all better. It is up to us. That's why we are here, folks. We are here for that reason, for that purpose. And we best get our act together. We better get it all, you know, ourselves in this better state and frame of mind to know the power that we do have, how we have been influenced through generations and generations from the beginning. If you don't receive that, when I'm speaking that way, you need to do some research. Just look at the history of things, but you have to do deep research as we have done. But nobody's going to come and save us.
No. We got a brew.
We are the ones that need to come together. We are being separated, divided, deliberately, to create more chaos and more chaos where people cannot think clearly. Critical thinking is down the tubes. It's just reaction, emotions. And this, they worked us very well, to have these emotional reactions where you can't think straight, where you just lash out. So we are the ones that are being asked here by Creator Great Spirit, and I'm going to say the Mother, because she needs us. What we love is in trouble. And that includes our children, folks. What we love, what we appreciate, and I feel so grateful for, and am in awe of, is in trouble. And we are being asked. We have come here. We determined to come here. Otherwise, you would not be here at this time. If you're just spinning around and lollygagging around, believing in everything that you hear or see or read or whatever, you got work to do.
Well, if you're, I volunteered to come here, I have to question my sanity.
Oh, well, listen, I went there. I decided I don't want to be here. As a child, I said, I don't want to be here. I want to go back home because this was not a nice place I landed in. It was like right away, right off the bat, I got disturbed. I got, whoa, I don't know about this. And a couple periods of time in my life, I was just so overwhelmed and so down about it. I said, I can't be here. And Spirit came rolling in. And I want to tell you, when that happens, it's an awakening. It's like, yeah, guess what? And everything, you're shown over again, everything that you determined to do and everything you promised to do, everything you agreed to do and what you do know to be true. And that is the power of the light, the power of love, the power of prayer, the power that we were given. So I had to realize, wait a second, yeah, I am not powerless and none of this crap is going to overtake me where I give up and I feel hopeless and I say, that's it, we're all done. Because yeah. If I believed that, I might as well jump off the cliff right now.
Yeah, well,
and I don't believe that.
With all that said, I'm saying we have a brilliant opportunity, amazing opportunity right now, because we still do have access to a vast amount of knowledge. This internet, it could be your worst enemy or it could be your greatest friend, because we have access to each other. We can communicate to one another. And if we do it respectfully and responsibly, and we use this technology that we have access to right now, we have all the science information necessary to resolve every single issue under the sun. But we have to choose to do it. We have to want to do it. And right now, We're seeing a lot of distraction out there in the world. The world is distracted. I mean, look at them. Look at some of the
listen,
crazy stuff we've
to me,
about.
To me, I feel like the most important thing in this moment in time here, at this timeline, is getting right with our spiritual creator, with our connection to source. I don't care what you want to call it. Build your spiritual foundation. That will protect you. That will give you a power beyond your imagining where none of this stuff can affect you. Then you can think clearly. Then you have critical thinking, and then you can do this other work. Yeah. Then you can pull things together. Then you can get your community to get together. Then you can make determinations and come together and use your critical thinking and your creativity, okay, to change things. You can't do that until you have this spiritual foundation so strong that none of this crap, none of these energies, none of these frequencies, none of these entities can bother you or affect you or control you. I'm going to keep saying that. To me, that is the answer. That is the key.
I agree wheartedly. Anon 9663 said AI destroying mankind is illogical. It's more likely that because AI would not be able to understand mankind's duplicity, it would want to join with us to understand us, just possibly. Saying that AI is going to destroy us, just creating a new boogeyman to blame everything on. I can't imprison AI. Anyway,
that's an interesting perception. I mean, everyone has their ideas and so on. I don't know about that. I really don't know. I think that an artificial intelligence is given to us by some outsiders, off-planeters. I think all these extreme technologies are given to us either to do positive or negative with, and that's human nature. Because as we know, I'm going to revisit this piece, when Eisenhower was president, the Blue Feather ETs came and offered technology for the world. And to better the world, and said, but you must eliminate the nuclear programs. And Eisenhower said, absolutely not. So therefore, then you had these other entities coming in, these grays, which are connected to the reptilian consciousness entities, and they said, well, we can give you technology too, but we want permission, and we want to be hidden. We want permission, and we don't want our presence disclosed. We want the ability to basically abduct people and do experiments on them. And so that was agreed upon. There's documents of that. I'm not talking through my hat here, folks. I don't sit here and talk through my hat. I have done research. You can research those documents. It's the legitimate documents of that conversation and those present that agreed to this. So you have the technology given to us, like, boom, suddenly. Think about it. Think about it when Eisenhower was president, and then suddenly there's this wave of technology, and some technology, by the way, that we're not even privy to or aware of, are far more advanced than you can ever imagine.
Well, like I said, I don't know until I witness it, but, you know, there's still, I say valid concerns about artificial intelligence, if nothing more than for the calculator syndrome, where when the calculator came on the scene and people was like, didn't like to do math anyway, they would just say, well, why do I need to learn math? I could use a calculator. So you get used to the AI helping you out and doing everything for you, and then you can't do for yourself. I just don't see where that's a plus. There's a video out there that says Amazon Alexa says Jesus Christ is fictional and Muhammad wasn't. I don't know if it was a scam that somebody put this video out or nonetheless, but it's still to me a possibility that you can't even have your own beliefs without this doggone AI, you know, basically deciding for you what is reality and what isn't.
Well, what is AI linking into? You see, this is what we have to recognize. What is this entity linking into? Okay.
That's my point. It's just, it's the news media out there, wherever the news media gets their information. Is this AI getting its information from the same source? So this AI basically will tell you whatever it's been told to say, essentially, you know?
Artificial intelligence links into something. It links into some frequency. It links into some energy, some frequency that is being emanated from some source. So you have positive source, you have negative source. You have manipulator source, dark source, you have light, you have positive. Okay, so I'm just saying, let's get real here, folks. This is scientific. Okay, so I don't trust artificial intelligence. I don't trust anything that's artificial. I don't even have an artificial plant in my house.
Well, heck, I'm going to be fair. I don't even trust regular intelligence anymore because I don't know who's telling the truth and who ain't.
You know what? I agree with you. You know what I trust? I trust my own source.
Yeah, there you go.
And my own source is Creator Great Spirit. And I have been in touch with that source since the time I was a child. Okay, so that's my source. Nobody's going to stand in front of me and tell me, oh, trust this one, trust that one, do what that one says, believe in this one. No, I'm sorry, I'm not doing that. I will not do that because I know the source that I believe in and trust in has created miracles in my life.
It's like the whole flat earth thing out there. I ain't never been far enough off the earth to see what shape it is, and so I can't really sit here honestly, intellectually say that I know what shape the earth is or whatever.
Does it really matter?
No, it don't matter to me, but
I'm saying that because it's a distraction.
Yeah.
Everything is a distraction. What is it distracting us from?
But my point is this. If you look all the way back through history, you know, people wrote all kinds of books. There's books after books after books. All this information came from somewhere. And I wasn't around to witness certain, instance that happened or anything like that. So I can't verify fully anything that I can't check out in my physical realm. Like with science, you can do testing of batteries, and you know basically how a battery works, and if you understand the physics of it, whatever. I can sit there and test that over and over and over, and I can get the same results, so I'm pretty sure I know how a battery works. But when it comes down to anything else in science or physics or what NASA says or what the government says, I go through life with a skeptical eye until I can get as many facts to finally formulate a decision. But people will go blindly and they will believe anything that is said if it comes from a man with a white coat or a piece of paper that says he's an authority figure or the government or the mainstream media. I'm not saying don't trust nobody. That's not what I'm trying to say. But to be intellectually honest, none of us really know the truth of anything, because history's been twisted and turned. They say that the victor writes the story, right? So how do we know what was real and what isn't real? But from this point on, from what we see in our society, we know we have some issues that need to be addressed. Otherwise, you don't have to be a rocket scientist or a prophet to understand that on the path that we are as humanity, we're going down some bad roads. Now, we know what the past said about certain types of different socialisms and other types of isms and even religious points of view and such. We know. We read the books. We got that information. Now, what are we going to do with that information? What are we going to do from this point on in order to resolve the problems that are going on out there in this world? If our children are starving, why aren't we as humanity feeding them? If our children in war zones, why aren't we doing everything as humanity to get them out of those war zones? If we have leaders out there who are so incredibly corrupt that the system is basically just becoming this massive beast that's eating everyone alive, not just any particular group or color or race or whatever, it's eating all of us alive. We got the power of the spoken word, we got the power of the pen, the power of our actions. We're more powerful than we give ourselves credit for. And the system wants to tell us how weak and helpless we are. The system wants to tell us that we're doomed and we can't do nothing without them. We have to rely on the government. We have to rely on everything but our Creator. We have to rely on everyone but each other. And so we're watching this unfold before our very eyes. And I'm seeing people cracking up. I'm seeing people freaking out. People are going flat out berserk as far as I'm concerned. And if they ain't got some sort of spiritual grounding like you mentioned, Barbara, then I feel bad for them. Because that's the only thing that holds my feet to the ground. Because you see, I come in here, I get all kinds of emotional. Sometimes I'm even crying. It's just so frustrating because I hear there's so many problems in the world. And through my eyes, I see we have solutions available in order to resolve these problems. But to try to get the masses together when they're as distracted as what they are, that's why I formulated the Knights of the Round Table, to try to bring people to the table so we could sit down and have these discussions and sort it out together. What do you think?
Well, yeah, I think it's an important forum, and thank you for that. I see clearly the frustrations and the spinning rising. I see that that is also an agenda. It's very purposeful. It has a reason for happening. And to me, it's sort of like, again, I want to say this is part of prophecy, but prophecy is not written in stone. What we see going on, it's best and important not to be despairing. We cannot despair because that drops our frequency. We must have a faith. We must find a faith within us. Faith is powerful. Hope is even more powerful. Without hope, we're just giving up.
Yeah, I agree.
Without hope, we've already signed the death warrant. Without hope, we have nothing to rely upon. And you might think, well, that's just a bunch of hooey, balooey, whatever. I don't care what you think. If you find that hope within you, if you find your connection to Source, if you get strong with your spiritual connectedness, your Source connected, you will find inner peace. Nothing will matter to you. And I'm not saying you're not to care. That's not what I'm saying. Of course I care. And I pray a lot, and I see what is going on. But I do have something within me that is a great hope and a great faith, and I'm very grateful for that. I'm not being ignorant and not being stupid. I'm not sticking my head in the sand. I have work to do, just like we all have work to do, and this is about frequency. Again, I'm going to emphasize, what is our work? Well, I call it the sacred works. The sacred works is a power, the power of prayer, the power of love, the power of kindness, the power of compassion. These are beyond our imaginings, what we can create and manifest in our own personal experience, that of our family, and that emanates out from us into the whole of the sacred web. That is how we are connected. Our lives and all of this is about frequency, either negative or positive, either dark or light.
I think our most powerful tool is love. And over there in the People for People chat room, I can't pronounce it. It's A-N-J-M-E-S said love is Source, in their opinion. I don't doubt that. Matter of fact, I think God is love. You know, whatever you call God. But, you know, you got a dark, you got a light, you got evil, you got whatever. I don't know how to explain it. But, you know, I had a vision that I actually stood in front of God. All right? Maybe it was just a dream. Maybe it wasn't. But maybe it really was a vision. But the type of love that I felt in the presence of that entity was, it's unimaginable. There's no human words that could explain that type of love. And I'd like to feel it again someday. You know, and I felt the total opposite of the spectrum in the same exact dream or vision or whatever you want to call it. I felt the same thing in the complete opposite direction, the total lack of light, love, nothingness. And that was, to me, more terrifying than anything that I've ever witnessed in my life. I've seen some pretty terrible things. I've seen things that no man or woman should ever have to lay eyes upon, and I've cried many a tears over what I've seen in my lifetime. And I think that the love in my heart is the only thing that keeps me going, that drives, is the driving force, the reason why I do these shows on the Knights of the Round Table and the Mad Science Show. It's the reason why I do them, because I don't want people to witness the things that I had to see. I don't want to see that happen. I don't want to see us go to doomsday or the apocalypse. And I like you, Barbara, don't believe that prophecy is necessarily written in stone. I think that we can actually create self-fulfilled prophecies that turn out really bad for us, or we could do the opposite, that it would actually quite literally bring about a heaven on earth or a utopia, so to speak. We have tools and technology and talent and gifts beyond all measure, that if we was to ever decide to come together and utilize what we have access to right now, we can fix things. We can help this world clean it up and be just as beautiful as it was from the day it was first created. I feel that with everything that I am. I don't think we were set down here to fail. In my heart, God didn't create any trash, only treasure. Each and every one of you in my heart is treasure. There's not one of you that is worthless in my eyes. There's maybe a lot of you out there that do a lot of terrible things to each other. There may be a lot of you that make a lot of bad choices, but I think we all have that capability to go either direction, and it's all that part of that free will thing that we always talk about. But from where I stand, there is not one worthless individual on this planet. So every single time we lose anybody for any reason, it's a great loss to humanity. I feel the whole soul of humanity weeping every time we lose somebody for some stupid reason, whether it be war or starvation or sickness. Nature has provided medicine. Nature has provided tools. Nature has provided energy, nourishment, everything that you could possibly imagine, and even more than we can, you know, name here. There. If you look at the animals out there, and you look at the plants, and you look at the world itself, how can you not see a miracle right before your very eyes? And when that miracle starts to weaken, it starts to become sick. You can see. Something is not right in our world. And it's up to us to decide that we got to help this out. We got to save this part of us, which is, we're all part of this thing. All of us. We're in the same boat together. No matter what you think, I don't care whether you're a hardcore atheist and you don't believe any kind of higher power or whatever. The earth that we're standing on, this beautiful land that we've been gifted somehow or another, whether it be by chance or by divine intervention, this is our home. And if we don't take care of it, and if we don't take care of each other, the opposite side of the spectrum is the worst possible outcome that you can imagine. That's all I got.
Well, I like what you got. I'm sitting here thinking, I'm going to ask the question, because we have to continually ask this question, I do believe. We need to check up on ourselves. I think we need to be responsible. I think each one of us needs to take responsibility for our frequency here at this time on this earth. So I'm going to ask, what do you think the Creator brought you here for? What do you think you're doing here? What is your job here? What is your purpose here? Do you think that your purpose is here to just put out snarky comments or anger or rage or not nice things about people who may not be doing nice things, by the way? Do you think that that's a good thing? If you think that's a good thing, you are adding to that negative energy that other person that you're attacking is putting out too. So you're participating in that way. You have to think about that. This is very important. What the power is in our hands. If you don't like what so-and-so is doing or whatever is going on out there, pray. Pray hard for that to change, because that is your power. I believe that is what we're here for. We're not here to throw out snarky comments, hateful comments, to disrupt the sacred frequency of Mother Nature and creation. Because you are, if you're doing that. You're affecting the whole. You're affecting your children. You're affecting all that you love by being nasty, by being hateful, by putting out snarky comments, by wanting the death of somebody else, by wanting something horrible to happen to another person, just because they are doing horrible things, you become that frequency that they are.
Yeah.
This is what I'm talking about. I'm just saying this because I'm sitting here thinking the power that we have is awesome. Every one of us has a power. Like you say, it's true. Every one of us is significant, and I have said that too. You are so significant, so important, that you have no idea. But your words, what you write, your words, your thoughts, your actions have an impact to either do harm or do good. Now, think about that. Think about it. Question yourself on a regular basis. What am I adding to here? Am I adding to the vibration of love and healing and peace? Or am I adding to the vibration of negativity, hatefulness, and divisiveness, disunity? Because that's what you're doing, either positive or negative. We are so much powerful, more powerful than you can imagine. And, you know, that's what Creator sent us here for. That's what you agreed to do, is to come here to create and manifest beauty, love, compassion, to be kind.
Let me ask a question. If it was my destiny to come here and try to utilize everything that I learned to help the world out to become a better place, and some troll came along and basically finally drew the last straw that discouraged me, and I just flat out walked away from my destiny. Would that matter to anybody? Would that matter to the world if I just said, you know, what's the point? If we can't, with our words, inspire others to try to fix this world, and I just say one day, you know, I'm tired of it all, and I shut down my radio show and my websites, and I just get off the internet completely. Would that matter?
You know something? I have nearly done that.
Yeah.
I know you have too.
You've talked me off the edge so many times, Barbara. You and Patty have talked me off the edge so many times, you can't even possibly imagine, because you could feel the frustration in the words that I was saying. And You reminded me why it was that I did what I do. And I'm still here because of you. And I appreciate that.
Well, I'm going to say, see, I know that energy. That's a dark frequency that doesn't want your light to shine, my brother. And doesn't want my light to shine either. Doesn't want all these people out here in the chats. Doesn't want their light to shine. It does, because it fears that. It fears the light. If you are shining your light and you are offering good things and you are in prayer or you are in a steady place where you are loving and caring and kind, that entity, that frequency of the dark does not want that to happen. It will attack you. It will talk to you in your head and tell you, you might as well give up because I'm boss. I'm winning. Well, I'm sorry. No, you ain't. You are not.
Do you understand how much power your words had to affect me, to give me literally the strength to stay here? If it hadn't been for you and Barry and all the people in the chat room, there's a lot of people over in the chat room, a lot of wonderful people over there. Lizzie,
yes.
They'd probably miss me if I was gone. You know?
Well, I would. I sure would. I know they would, too. And we have to think about that, because I felt for a time, and, you know, you guys know it. I mean, I know my sister Patty knows it. We help each other, too. Sometimes off on the Skype, we'll talk to each other, and I say, I'm really having a bad day. I just feel like I want to give up. I don't want to continue here. I have nothing to say. I've said it all, you know, blah, 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 right? And she'll just turn me right around. She'll say to me, well, you know, you are needed. The people need you. You make a difference. You do. You add to what we need. And I do hear her. Thankfully, I thank my sister, Patty Walking Turtle, and everybody for being here. Who, these people in the chats, do you realize how important it is that I'm sitting here looking at all you people in the chat, how really uplifting that is to see you out there?
Yeah.
I'm very grateful for every one of the people that come into the chat and all the beautiful things they have to offer. Their own wisdoms. We're all helpers and teachers for each other.
Gregory.
And we need to help each other. We need to remind each other. Stop being snarky.
Yep.
That's not doing any good.
Greg,
you know, I know, look, I just have to say this. I know there are people that are doing horrible things. I'm not stupid, and I'm not ignorant. I do know the stuff that's going on, but I pray very hard for those people. It is not in my hand to judge others. You see, judging others is a low frequency, and that adds to what the dark loves to eat up. Loves to eat our dark frequencies.
Yep.
So I pray for those people. I give it over to Great Spirit. I say, Great Spirit, these people are in trouble. These are relatives. These are people, too. These are brothers and sisters. I don't care what you think. They got lost. It could be me. You know, I like that saying, therefore, but the grace of God go I.
Yep.
And we've all made mistakes. We've all done some things that we have in our closet, the skeletons in our closet. But I pray that all things come into harmony and balance in that person's body, mind, and spirit. That would help shift the frequency and energy, right?
Yeah.
That is damaging things. So those people, I pray to Creator for all people. I don't care what they're doing, the awful stuff. I see it, I know it, and I pray for them. And I have seen miracles, and I do believe in miracles.
Gregory, who's our local resident poet, he always puts some really brilliant words down and shares them with everybody. If you're listening in on a different type of device out there and you can't really get into the chat room, if you need an opportunity to go next to a computer or you can get into these chat rooms and read some of the words that Gregory put out there, some really nice words, some really brilliant put together words, you know. And that's, he's just one of so many wonderful people that show up out here, and I wish the more that you could come here and visit with the People for People Radio Network and see, you know, what really goes on here. It's an amazing thing. It's a powerful thing, you know. And some of the research, some of the brilliance that we get to enjoy here, you know, with each other's company, it's just, as far as I'm concerned, it's a miracle. It's a gift. I feel honored and humbled that I get to spend, you know, my Saturdays and Sundays with these people. I wish I could spend more time with them. Heck, I'd like to have a big old roundup and get you all together in one place and have a picnic together. You know, it'd be kind of nice to see everybody in person. You know, we can't all afford to do that, but maybe one day, who knows? But either way, the key is that the words that we speak here are trying to inspire others out there to believe in themselves and to have hope and to share as much love as possible as they can out there. And then that's what the world needs. That's what the world needs. Well, Barbara, we're down to the wire again.
We just started, eh?
I know. It's just like it just goes by so fast because we got so much that we need to be saying. I know there's going to be other shows on there, and we'll be here and there on other shows as well. So, you know, listen in to People for People Radio Network. They got a lot of brilliant shows on there. There's other affiliated networks out here. Look, it doesn't matter where you get the information. It just, if it's good information that you feel in your heart is worthy of sharing, please share it with somebody. Put it out there to the world. Throw those positive pebbles in every single direction, in every single pond. So the people out there who are witnessing the same crazy, you know, not everybody's grounded enough to, you know, be able to withstand all this. I feel like we're under attack. I feel like
we are.
Spiritually, mentally, emotionally.
We are under
physically,
attack.
And we need each other, honestly. So Barbara, looks like you get the last word there because none of the other Barry just got up. He didn't. He just now getting his coffee. What's wrong with you, Barry?
Well, I want to say, I just want to finish with, you know, I have experienced this. I've been in some dark times. I mean, I have been in some moments in time where it's so dark, and I am so down, way down, that something. Like this little miracle occurs. It's pretty extraordinary. And sure, many of you may have had this where you're just in the darkness. And suddenly this tiny spark of light just kind of like appears. It's like something inside of you. This little spark ignites. Something shifts. Something slowly changes. Something comes that uplifts you. Something comes in and changes your mind or just brings a sense of purpose, joy, changes your place where you were in the deepest, darkest place where you thought you were done and you never get out. So what I say is, in the darkest, darkest place, there is always a light. You will find it. You will see it, no matter how dark it gets. Trust me, it is there. I just want to thank everybody out here in the chat and out in this great, wonderful Mother Earth, all of our brothers and sisters out there, for all your presence, all of you being here. Don't lose hope. Remember, there is something that doesn't like your light, doesn't like your joy, doesn't want this happiness or peace, and it's not powerful at all. It just has a job to do, which is disrupt and corrupt and keep feeding itself. So I'm not going to feed that darkness. I'm not going to feed that energy. I'm going to empower myself with the light and align myself with the joy and compassion and love that is a completely different frequency. We all have that power. I love you guys. And so we'll be here, I guess, next week, but there's many, many good shows on these stations, and I know Shaziz has a ton of pods to peruse through. All uplifting, all powerful, all good. I love being here with you, Shaziz, my brother, and thank you so much for being on the earth at this time and meeting up with me.
Well, and thank you. It's been an honor and pleasure. You know, when she talked about the pods, we actually had to fire up a second website to put more pods on because we ran out of room. And so there are pods on two separate websites. There are going to be more. And I'm not going to give up. Sometimes I might get discouraged, but you know, there's always something wonderful when we show up together. The love that you feel on this site right here, it just blows my doors off. I'm gonna play us out of here with I think it's a beautiful song. What do you think of the song called "The Rose, Barbara"?
I love that song. I love that song.
It has a message. I don't know. What do you think?
I do think it has a message. I think that's why we like it, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to play this song. I know we're going to run slightly over, so I apologize to the other networks there, but it's something that I feel like we got to do here. So
we all need a song. Sing your song. Dance your dance. Love, laugh, and be in joy.
Amen. I love that. All right, folks. You've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table. If anything inspires you about any piece of this show, cut it, chop it, put it wherever you need to do to send the message on to somebody else. Bring a friend over here. Take a friend over to People for People Radio Network. When you folks show up out there, that just warms our heart because we know there's other people just like us just trying to figure things out. We're working things out. We got solutions, and we can make it happen. We can take it.
Some say love, it is a river that drowns the tender reed. Some say love, it is a razor that leaves your soul. Some say love, it is a hunger, an endless aching need. I say love, it is a flower, and you, it's all. Learns to
is the dream. The dream is to bring brilliant minds from every nation together to solve the world's problems, one positive pebble at a time. It will be we, the people of the world, that bring about true change, peace, and love to all. Governments never solve any problem, only create them. Wars, starvation, sickness, oppression, financial slavery, death and destruction is what governments do best. When all the military might of nations is used to destroy other nations, the question has to be asked, why not use that military strength for good? Feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, heal the sick, and so forth. True representation of truth, freedom, and justice comes from we the people, and it never came from slick-talking politicians that say whatever they have to get elected, and then regulate away your freedoms. There is no reason to have starving babies in the world of today. Yet, it goes on. There's no reason for wars and sickness, yet it continues. We as the people must stop feeding that beast that is eating humanity alive. We the people of all nations have the power to bring about a literal heaven on earth. You as an individual have more power than you can possibly imagine. You have the power of the spoken word. You have the power of the pen. The power of action, and most of all, the power of love. It is time to use this power to make our world a better place. We are the founding fathers, mothers, sisters, and brothers of our children, and of our children's children's future. Into the future and beyond, what we do today will define the world that they live in tomorrow. Let us, from every nation, come together and make that future a great one.
Old woman!
Man, sorry.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how'd you get that, eh?
By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I am Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed,
bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh.
Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance whenever we're able. We do
routine to call the scene, to put work in Bat Cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam art. We're knights of the round table, our shows are more mid-able. So many times we give and rhyme that our quiet unsing able. We're off so mad in Camelot, we sing from the diaphragm alone.
I have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
To serve the terrible and the knights of the round table.